Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Yeah, that's hot. You take it. You take it now. Uh-huh. Yeah, you like that, don't you, bitch? I'm a bad boy. Yeah, take that.
Oh, that's tight.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it, promise?
Yeah, that's hot.
At your age, you're going to be having a lot of urges. You're going to want to take off your clothes and touch each other. But if you do touch each other, you will get chlamydia and die.
That's me, that's him, and that's you.
So I do that, and you do that, and he does that?
Unless you do that, and I do that.
Well, I'm the only one who can do that. Unless we use one of those, but I don't know where we get that.
And now,
I don't sound sexy,
our feature presentation.
I don't know what they were saying, but I like it.
It wasn't sexy. It was. I saw that. It was on Weeds just the other night.
Oh, I didn't see the other night's Weeds.
It was Shane and these two little girls from his school.
Yeah.
And they were all going to have sex, and they had a computer out, and they're like dissecting who's going to do what and who's going to sit which way and what they're going to use. And
that's scary.
How old is the little boy?
You mean
Shane?
How old is he playing, or how old is he really?
How old is he playing?
How old's the character?
I would guess
13, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You think?
Just trying to imagine how many guys their first time is a threesome. First of all,
all of them,
and how many. I mean, Lisa's not exaggerating, and you heard the clip how complicated the thing is that they're trying to do, and it's his first time. Like, he doesn't have enough to worry about.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Without worrying about gymnastics on top of sex.
It was funny, but you know how he entered his new school? He asked who the smartest, most well-liked kid was. He walked right over to him, said, "Hi, I'm Shane," and then hit him in the face with a tray.
I saw that.
And now,
just walked away.
The girls think he's dreamy.
And then he said, "Don't F with me."
Yeah.
That's right.
I said that show
is pretty awesome.
Is one of my favorite shows, I think, ever.
It's so surprising.
It's so good.
Every week. I don't know what's going to happen.
So damn good.
It is. It's awesome.
It's too bad everybody doesn't get that channel, because that's strong.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got that channel.
Just for Weeds?
Just for Weeds, yeah.
I think we have Kevin Nealon coming in here in the next couple of days.
He's been great.
I think Friday.
So good.
Yeah.
Been a very, very funny plot line with him and his new girlfriend.
So. Who he has nothing to say to.
all three of the first seasons of Weeds are out on DVD. So if you want to, you know, rent or Netflix or buy or whatever you want to do to get caught up, you can. But that's fun. So I spent an interesting day yesterday working on a will, which apparently...
Oh, good times.
Apparently, if we learned anything from Heath Ledger, who died without ever updating his will to include his daughter, you can never have a will too young. There's no age at which you shouldn't have a will, apparently, if you own anything.
Meaning if you're 18 and you have maybe a car,
yeah,
then you just need to figure it out. Yeah.
If you care about what happens to it after you die. If
right.
you don't, if you just want it to be a free-for-all, you can do that too. But it's so funny, the stories that you hear about relatives that people have never met that come out of the woodwork and try to get stuff.
Sure.
You know, after somebody dies. And it's just – it's a really weird conversation to have, because A, you're talking about when you're dead.
Right.
And B, you're having to make decisions about what you want to do with stuff and who you want to put in the will, and if there's anyone that you don't want to put in the will, which is, you know, not the case for me, but I'm saying for a lot of people it would be, don't let that bastard in, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, yeah. But that's how I spent the afternoon yesterday. But I love death, so, you know,
sure,
it was actually
do.
For me, it wasn't bad.
Bean loves all kinds of human death.
It was just unusual, though. That's all. When you start thinking about, when you start thinking about what you want to happen to your stuff, if you want it to go places, or if you just want it to be liquidated, and then they split the money up, and if so, what percentage? Like, well, what do you want to give your dad? Well, what do you want to give your brother? Well, what do you want to give this person, that person? And then you have to start almost putting a value on the people in your life.
So when people older than you, like your parents, you have them in your will now, and if they pass away before you, then do you have to again revise your will?
Well, you can do it that way, or you can write it that way ahead of time, where you can say, "I'd like to leave such and such to my dad if he survives me."
Okay, gotcha.
And if not, then whatever you were going to leave him then goes back into either some sort of a general fund, or it goes to somebody else.
Right.
I pictured everything that you own going to, I don't know, a cat. or a lamb or something, you know, some pig, something. I don't know. And B, I forgot B. You know what's funny about that is B was what I wanted to say, but A,
but
I thought about
it. You had to get A out of the way.
I fully agree with you. Like, you're kind of making a joke, but I totally agree. I could see Bean leaving, obviously, a substantial amount to his wife and everything. But after that, can't you see Bean really leaving, like, $150,000 to a cow? I mean, can't
you
really see that?
Well, of course.
Certainly enough to have them cared for properly.
Well, that is one of the things that's in the new will that's being typed up right now is a trust with a certain amount of money per year to, God forbid, by the way, that it becomes necessary because, you know, my livestock is at an age where they should all be gone within a few years anyway, and hopefully I'll still be alive. But in the event that I'm not, I have to designate somebody to take care of them and leave money behind for them to be cared for just to make sure that they don't, you know, the county doesn't come out and go, all right, round them up and take them down to the barbecue shack. You know, I mean, you do have to think about stuff like that. It's just, it's a weird experience because I don't usually think about important stuff very often.
Oh, dear God.
You know? So what made you do it yesterday?
Well, two things. One is the summer of death is one thing.
Yeah.
When you see guys
he
like
is obsessed with death.
Well, this is the summer of death too. When you see
especially
guys
at
like
his house.
Like Bernie Mac dropping dead, you just kind of go, dude, that dude's older than I am, but not by a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So if it happens, I mean, it can happen to anybody, right? I mean, that's right. One thing that you do. That is a reality that you face. I mean, I don't know how many of those people got on that plane in Madrid yesterday, thought that that was their last day ever, but you never know. So that's A, and then B is, I got a vacation coming up where I am traveling overseas, and Donna is convinced that this is the one that's going to kill me.
Are you driving while you're there?
Only 1,000 miles or more, probably.
Yeah. I'm with Donna. I hope I'm in your will.
Yeah.
Hey, how much is for Lisa? How much for me?
Yeah. Are we in?
You know what's,
we're in, right?
We're in that?
It's interesting that those names didn't even come up in the discussion.
Are
so
you
now
kidding?
I got, now that you've brought it up,
because that's understood.
Well, I have to go back and make sure to put you guys in as an exclusion. Yeah, I didn't even think about that before.
I'm sorry, an exclusion?
Yeah, that's a legal term. It's a legal term. Don't worry about that.
That means we get, like, most of it?
Right, right. Yeah. If you're excluded from the will, it means you get everything. And your first choice, right.
What about our friend Dewan? How about him? Is he in the will?
Oh, if he's on the phone, he's in the will.
Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa?
Hi, Dewan.
How's the new... It's going great. How's the new job at the buffet place?
Awesome. And look forward to go back to school.
Oh, you're going back?
Okay. Where do you go? Where do you go, Dewan? Is it UCLA?
I'm trying to go to LA Train Tech.
Okay.
What are you going to learn to do there?
Like, looking for a new career, get trained for a new career.
Okay.
I see.
Okay. So you've already graduated from high school. Have you been to any college, Dewan?
I went to SMC back in 2001 for a little while.
Okay.
Santa Monica College? Yeah.
So, and now you're going to go to a training school and try to hook yourself up with a new career. That sounds great.
Yeah. And I maybe want to work with you guys on the radio station. Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Yes. What do you want to do, Dewan? News?
Like, work in the office careers.
Right, but news?
Not the news.
Not the news. But we're saying news? Oh, you want to answer the phones?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right.
And
what do you guys think?
You're in. Miss Cleo's out.
Yeah. Second.
And what else, Dewan?
And I like to sing happy birthday to Alicia.
Alicia Keys? Wentz. Alicia Cuthbert?
No, that's not right. Alicia Wentz.
Alicia Wentz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the beautiful little redheaded actress.
Yeah.
She's on the Law and Order show.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let's go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alicia. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Alicia, my homegirl. You cool.
Nicely done, Dewan.
Well, I hope she's listening right now, Dewan.
Uh-huh.
You're a very thoughtful dude. All right, Dewan, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, have a good night, sir. Bye-bye. Love Dewan. I'm leaving Dewan everything.
We should.
I am not surprised.
Everything. Although, Dewan, if the lawyer came to the door and said, Mr. Dewan, so-and-so passed away and he left you this estate of, he'd be, that's cool. I don't think he'd be surprised. I don't think he'd be anything other than just to take it in stride like he does everything else in his life.
Yep.
He would say,
yep.
Okay.
Okay. Then he'd shut the door and go to bed.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 21st of...
Come on.
Nice.
So much better.
Come on.
Finally. And I trust we can use that one for the rest of the month?
Nope. New person every day.
But that one was good.
It was great.
Tomorrow you're going to get some dude
something
making guttural sounds and make us all puke.
I hope that's not true.
Me too. Today on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kathy Griffin will be in the studio.
Yeah, she's great.
Talking about My Life on the D-List. She's having her finale.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to tell you a little bit more about swinging.
Okay.
Swing that tambourine.
As it's something that's new to me. I've never done it.
Nope.
But we're having a party in Las Vegas this weekend, and we've got some experts to come on and explain to you swinging 101.
Great. When can we get jiggy with it?
We also have a bunch of tickets to give away to the Kevin and Bean F Monogamy Swingers Party this weekend in Vegas. We'll let you join us. That's coming up this morning. As a matter of fact, your first chance is coming up in about a half hour, right after Ralph Showbiz Beat. We're going to talk about hazing. There's a cheerleading group in Houston. They had to disband the cheerleaders because of the extreme hazing.
Those are mean girls.
The cheerleading program. They didn't disband the cheerleaders.
They did. They disbanded them limb by limb.
That was part of the hazing.
That's serious hazing.
And also Shane West is going to be in our studio. He's talking about a new movie about the punk band The Germs. It's called What We Do Is Secret. And it's a fascinating look at that band.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah, it's
wow. Great.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Fascinating. That's the word.
Yeah, okay. It was great, but it was just difficult to look at somebody that is that screwed up.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Self-destructive.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll have him in the studio as well, and we're going to tell you how you can go to college for almost free.
Woohoo!
Almost. Loopholes, little things maybe you didn't think of, ways to get money out of people that you didn't think. Blackmail, I think, is part of it. I'm not sure.
Oh.
So we'll talk to him. He's an author, Ben Kaplan, coming up this morning as well. And we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. Now.
Thursday morning now, Ralph Garman joins us in studio with a look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Look at this, right fresh off the teletype machine. Look at this. Hot off the presses.
Teletype machine?
What the hell
very latest.
Have you used the teletype machine in?
You, Edward R. Murrow?
30 years?
Teletype machine.
Fresh off the smoke signals out in front.
I hope we're all reading that will soon. Please, sweet Jesus, let it be so. Congratulations to Matt Damon. He's a dad again. He and his wife, Luciana, gave birth to a little girl named Gia.
Hmm.
Gia Damon. Yesterday.
I like that.
The baby is very healthy. The couple did give the baby a remarkably normal name. However, they saved their lunacy for her middle name, which is Zavala.
Oh, sure.
What is that?
Gia Zavala Damon. Must be some sort of family name with her name because she's one of those wacky Italian broads.
Yeah.
So it's got to be something in there. Congratulations also to Ricky Martin, who's a father.
What?
No.
Ricky Martin is a father.
No.
Let me try this again.
Adopted?
Ricky Martin is a father.
No.
See if it sticks this time. Ricky Martin is a father.
Nope.
No.
Still not ringing?
No.
Ringing
that's
any bells?
Not possible.
He had a surrogate.
Surrogate wife?
Give birth to two twin boys. I guess they would be two. And Ricky's going to take a break from his career to raise them, he says. Well, good.
Wait, is he married?
No.
Really?
He obviously had some woman impregnated with his essence. And then she had twins, and he's taking them off of her. She's a surrogate mother, and he's going to raise them on his own.
Huh.
Well, that was a doctor thing. I mean, he didn't.
Yeah, well, there's no way to know, really. You're right, though.
Just saying.
Certainly could have
been.
He
didn't seal the deal himself.
What he didn't do, we know, is have sex.
Magic. That's what I'm saying.
So, the identity of the boy's mother was not revealed, but he's going to take care of them.
Huh.
Well, rumor has it Clay Aiken's the mom. But
is he going to be a single dad raising these kids, or does he have a partner of some sort?
No, single.
Sounds like single dad.
I mean, he may have a dude partner, but
well,
he doesn't talk about it. Well, okay. I don't know.
It's an odd story.
I would add that to the story if I had it, but I do not. Congratulations to Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. They finally admitted that she's expecting their second child.
Now that she's like 8 months
pregnant.
It's
not really news. It's been out there for more than a month. In fact, her TV father, Victor Garber, spilled the beans about 3 months ago. So not really news, but she finally told Access Hollywood that they're super excited about their new addition. Wait a minute, New Edition's going to be? Amy Winehouse may be back in rehab. Then again, she may be not.
No.
Competing stories today. London Sun says that she just entered still yet another rehab program, just a few miles from the jail where her husband is being held.
Oh, that's sweet.
That is sweet. They can be close together. Her dad, Mitch, says it's a very good idea. If she can get clean and still see Blake, it can only be good.
Really? Really? Really?
I don't understand the really part.
Well, he's her dad, right?
Right.
So if she can still see the dude that's in jail, it can only be good?
Well, they say that the reason she's even more out of control lately than not is because her husband, who she's wildly in love with, is in jail and she's losing her mind.
Oh.
So if she can visit on a regular basis, he thinks it might help her stay in a program rather than just keep acting out and binging because she's miserable because her husband's in jail. However, TMZ.com says that that statement is false and she's not in rehab at all.
I'm going with TMZ. They're pretty accurate.
Too.
You choose which do you prefer. Remember I told you Brigitte Nielsen had plastic surgery on live television in Germany?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We saw her in Celebrity Crack Whore with Dr. Drew. And now she wants to up her profile yet once again. Reportedly, she's interested in posing naked for Playboy magazine again.
Oh. Does she have a time machine?
Oh.
Now at 45, she thinks that she still has something to show.
Yeah, she might, but does she have anything that anyone wants to see?
We'll have to see her post-surgery. She used to be pretty hot.
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's worn down.
Here's the thing,
though.
Playboy. You don't need to publish every photograph of anyone who's the least bit famous. I know that's your new thing, but some famous people are better left clothed.
And stop with the BS.
Let's put the celebrity on the cover but not have him be naked inside. No, Anna Faris, you do not get to be on the cover of Playboy unless you take it off.
Yeah, that is BS. That's false
advertising.
Stop with
that.
Well, that's obviously time for House Bunny where she plays a Playboy bunny in her new movie.
Yes.
Right.
But if you're on the cover of Playboy, I think it's probably fair for us to guess.
She has a photo spread inside,
right.
But she's just not nude.
Okay.
Not acceptable.
Not okay.
We have a reasonable expectation of nudity if you're on the cover of Playboy. And I'm with you on not every celebrity needs to have their picture in the mag just because they're famous.
Yeah.
Pictures of that are great, though.
That's fine. That's fine.
There's plenty of nudity in the magazine.
Yes.
They're thinking maybe she should be in Maxim.
I'm saying if she's on the cover of Maxim, on the cover of FHM.
In this particular case, I think it's unique because there's an obvious tie-in. And I'm sure it was even part of the deal for them to say, Hef's in the movie. They're using all the Playboy stuff in the film. I'm sure they said, that's fine, but we need a little love from Anna in one of our covers so we can sell some magazines.
Anna?
Why are you fighting our desire to get Anna Faris naked, though? It seems
I'm
like
not
you'd be on board
fighting
with this.
It just seems like in this particular case, it's obvious as to why that didn't happen.
You are wrong, sir.
Because ordinarily, she wouldn't even be in the pages of Playboy.
Right. Yeah, she should be.
So we have something, we have a little cheesecake in there, and we get her on the cover, so that's better than her not being in the pages
at all.
False
advertising. I'm going to sue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is your penis going to sue?
Yes. Sign me up for your lawsuit there, Kevin. I'm with you.
Details about Madonna's 50th birthday party are starting to leak.
You know,
apparently guests at the party sucked down a concoction called the crack baby.
What?
It's a cocktail called a crack baby.
That's
Yes, it's a mixture of vodka and champagne.
Ew.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
That's horrible.
The crack baby is the name of it.
The crack baby.
All right.
Yes.
It's sensitive.
Lola, her baby girl,
mm-hmm.
Not a baby anymore, played piano apparently for the guests. Oh, nothing worse than one of those parties. Honey, play some piano for everybody. Show them how you play. She's wonderful. No, seriously, sit down. Play them something. Leave your kids out of the party, will you? I don't need to be entertained by your freaking kids, Madonna. Guy Ritchie did a lot of talking, apparently. He got up and did a speech about his wife for 30 minutes.
Oh,
wow.
No.
And David Blaine roamed the room doing card tricks for people.
Oh, no.
This sounds like the worst birthday party ever.
I'm actually happy I didn't go.
This is going to be hell. This
wow.
right here. When you go to hell, this is what's going to be happening.
Wow.
I'd like to say a few words about my wife.
Sure wish she wasn't banging that Yankee. Be a lot better.
Is this your card? Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven. Can you imagine?
Ugh.
Pierce Brosnan didn't have the greatest childhood.
Okay.
Never heard about his childhood.
Yeah, he doesn't talk about it much. Apparently, he is doing an interview overseas. They're still promoting ABBA over there, the Mamma Mia movie. Mm-hmm. And he said he grew up with his father. His father ditched his family when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got three sons of his own and says he may be guilty of maybe overcompensating. Dotes on him a little bit because he never had a relationship with his own father. Yeah, that's what they say about Pierce. It is. And Rebecca Romijn's already picked out one of the names for her twin babies. She tells In Touch Weekly she plans on naming one of her children Dolly after Dolly Parton.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Then she chuckled and went on to say the real names.
No.
Could that be a middle name?
I don't know. Dolly? Dolly Parton?
Wow.
Rebecca thinks that Dolly's a great role model who has a great personality and is still strong and wise.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. Name my first boy Kenny Rogers, then. He's a great role model, too. And Adrina Patridge has a new man.
Yeah. Oh, good.
What?
Star of the Hills, apparently, is dating pro BMX racer Corey Bowen.
No, okay. Justin Bobby.
Anybody interested? No, Justin Bobby.
Didn't
he? Wasn't he the homo who used to make furniture for Anna Nicole Smith?
That's Bobby Trendy.
Bobby Trendy.
Okay. Sorry. I get all my reality Bobbies mixed up. And Stuart Townsend needs to be stopped.
What's he doing now?
Come on.
Speed bump?
He's fine.
Speed bump needs to be put down.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
He is messing with perfection.
What's he messing with?
According to the National Enquirer, he has finally got Charlize Theron to quit smoking. Don't just leave her alone.
Oh, Ralph.
Oh, and she would laugh if it was the hottest thing in the world.
That's a good idea for her, though.
That's a good idea for her.
I know she's smoked.
I'm going to go pet a sheep. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm just saying she's such a
beautiful woman. I know
what
you're saying. I wish you'd say less of it.
I see what smoking does to a woman's skin, particularly when they start to get into that age, and I want her to be as perfect as possible
into
for as long as
age.
Possible. That's all.
Oh, what she would light up is nothing hotter. Just watching a wisp of smoke just trail out of her partially open lips.
That's not smoke.
Wow.
Great googly moogly. Apparently, Stewart kicked the habit first and then complained that Charlize smelled like an ashtray. You know what? If Charlize was an ashtray, I'm just licking ashes all day long. That's all I'm doing. I'm just eating butts. You know what I'm saying?
Hey. Yes, we do. Wait, I need that, Mike.
So now they've all quit together and blah, 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 blah.
You don't see any upside for her not smoking.
I don't see any upside in you continuing to talk. That's
just
what
asking.
I don't see an upside in.
Just ask and I'm going to see how far gone you are. That's all.
Jesus. Just saying, you don't mess with perfection. That's all I'm saying. Everything she did was perfect.
Because once you throw something off, and who knows what kind of spiral.
They're all out of balance. Right, then she starts eating too much. Then next thing you know, she's got gout in her elbow. And then they have to take the whole arm. You don't know.
Have to take the whole arm. That happened quickly.
That's a good thing.
A lot of people, man, they quit smoking. Next thing you know, they're amputees. I mean, it does happen.
It does.
Look at Heather McCartney.
Perfect example.
Exactly how hers started.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Kenny Rogers, he is 70 years old today.
An unrecognizable 70.
Does he wish he had a 70-year-old face right now? He's like, you know what? I so wish I looked like a 70-year-old man instead of a 46-year-old Asian woman with my horrible plastic surgery.
We've had that guy on before who runs menwholooklikekennyrogers.com, and Kenny wouldn't be in the top 100 of people who look like Kenny Rogers on that site.
Nope.
You're so right.
It's a country singer from the old days that literally has had so much plastic surgery that he is unrecognizable.
He
looks
hard
like
to
a
be
victim of an accident or something.
It's
beyond not recognizable. It doesn't look like somebody else. He looks like he was put through a wood chipper.
He had reconstructive
and
surgery.
Had to be put back together on the other end. It's not a good look. Kim Cattrall is 52 years old today. Right now she's saying, I so wish I had the face of a 70-year-old. Instead of looking like she does. Carrie Ann Moss is 41. Serge Tankian!
What the hell?
Is also 41 years old today. Alicia Vitt, as we found out earlier today.
Oh.
Thanks to Dwan.
Yes.
Celebrates her birthday. She is 33 years old today. Jodie Brenner. Excuse me. Let me try that again. Brody Jenner.
I don't recognize the name.
He's 25 years old today. And Hayden Panettiere celebrates her 19th birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, that's hot.
All right.
I'm just eating birthday cake.
Oh, okay, good.
That's what I'm doing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are going to Las Vegas
This weekend, Kevin and Bean F Monogamy Swingers Party.
Yes!
If you would like to be a part of it, you can give us a call now, and we will talk to you next. 1-800-520-1067.
So you're 21 and up, and you got a partner, yet you're thinking, how about that swinging? How's that for a deal? We have got the party for you, and it's in Las Vegas at the beautiful Caesars Palace. The party is going to be Sunday night. You get to stay Sunday and Monday, airfare in both directions, which I think is very generous of us, by the way. And, of course, you're welcome to join us live for the show as we broadcast from Caesars on Monday morning. It's something we like to call the F Monogamy Kevin and Bean Swingers Party.
Someday, you got to find another lay. And Kevin and Bean will give you that chance at the Swingers Party.
I say F Monogamy.
F it.
Have sex with anybody.
That's right.
I say F Monogamy.
Yeah.
We're going to have a Swingers Party.
Woo!
It's Kevin and Bean's F Monogamy Swingers Party.
1-800-520-1067 is a number you can call right now if this sounds like something you'd like to go to. Ralph at krock.com is another way to get in. Ralph, what's your sum up for me, the email experience you've been having with hearing from our listeners so much in regards to this party?
An enormous amount of emails been coming in. People really excited about the party. And some great folks, too. Not just attractive, but some really cool emails I'm getting from people who have either had experience in this area or looking forward to it. And they seem to have their head in the right place regarding the fact that It's first and foremost important to protect your primary relationship, but beyond that, you can have a lot of fun in this if you're that kind of person.
You know what I've noticed about a lot of emails that have come in is that people who swing really like taking naked pictures of themselves.
Yep.
They do.
Yes, they do.
And then they send them to us.
Yeah, that is true. They have no problem with their nudity, which is probably a good thing, too. What if Caesars has one of those topless pools? Does Caesars have a topless pool?
I don't know. Oh. It seems like that's all the new rage there.
It seems like more and more places have them. Yeah. I wonder if Caesars
They will on Monday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's fascinating. And a lot of the calls that we're getting are people saying, I've always thought about, always wondered, always maybe, don't know what to expect, that kind of stuff.
Well, like a lot of things, the first step is the hardest part. It's finding a situation that you're comfortable in to be able to explore that. And like I've always said, it can be intimidating to go to a swingers event or something because it's a bunch of strangers and you're not quite sure what's going to happen when you get there and you're not quite sure how you're going to feel about what happens when it does. So there's a lot of question marks, and I think this party will take a lot of that out of the way because at least, like our singles parties, you'll know these people have something in common with you. They listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. They like K-Rock music. And you have, that is a jumping off point.
And there is a minimum sexual requirement. Is that right?
No obligatory sex required. You can do as little or as much as you like.
How do we go from 5 to 0?
I don't know where you got 5.
Come on.
There's no mandatory sex.
Let's talk to Dave real quick because he's an interesting case, Ralph, because you've been saying all week long that you definitely want people to be on the same page about this. You don't want anyone dragging the other person to the swingers party, right?
No.
And Dave is kind of at that point where he and his partner maybe don't 100% see eye to eye, but let's see what we've got to work with. Hi, Dave, North Hollywood. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Dave. What's up?
How to do?
Okay.
Howdy do, Dave.
Tell us about you and your girlfriend, please.
Greetings. Now move on.
I've been seeing this girl for 4 months.
Sorry, that line just disconnected.
Sometimes
that happens. Sometimes that
happens. These damn new phones.
Yep.
Yeah, he sure sounded like a good guy that we'd like to hang out with, though. I'll tell you that.
Josh.
Really fun dude.
Damn.
Oh, well.
How about Eric?
Eric.
He was in Whittier, and he just lost.
I think all the phones
just
died.
Going on with the phones?
Do we blow the phones out?
I don't know.
Kevin ruined something.
I didn't do it. I didn't do anything,
Kevin
dude.
Kevin broke something.
Phones have a weight limit.
All right, let me try.
Try Lewis.
I don't think we have one fat or ugly person coming to the party.
So far, we do not.
They're so high.
So far, I don't think.
We've got photos of almost everyone.
Almost everybody.
Please.
Have you seen a photo of anyone fat or ugly?
Does anyone send a photo if they're fat or ugly?
But we're going almost exclusively by photographs and emails.
Can't fake those. That's all I'm saying.
Can't fake the funk either.
Lewis, hi. Tell us about yourself.
I'm from Huntington Beach. Me and my chick, we started swinging one time. We just went to a regular party and found out it was a swingers party, so we drank a little bit extra and ended up having a great time.
So you looked at each other and you said, wow, this is a swingers party. I didn't know it. We better start drinking hard.
Yeah.
I like that.
Made it a lot easier, but had a great time.
Well, here's the thing about swinging. Excessive alcohol is not always a good idea when you're entering in something like this. Because you know how it is when you drink. Sometimes you do things you wouldn't do normally.
Sure.
And then you wake up the next day. Sometimes you have feelings of regret. So at least going into the party, you should have some idea of how, your comfort level with something like this before you start boozing. Because it can get ugly if you drink too much. And if you're a fella, sometimes a few too many whiskeys, and next thing you know,
you
nothing's
can't
happening
be
downstairs. You end up on the sidelines.
Plus,
so.
plus a lot of calories and a lot of alcohol.
Oh, I mean, like, juice.
I'm saying you don't want to necessarily just pour it on.
But, hey, Louis, you're saying that you guys didn't have regrets?
No, not at all. The first time it was kind of weird, so we drank a little bit extra. But,
but
the second, third time, I mean, you know, we didn't even need that anymore, so.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, okay. So you've been regularly swinging then since you were first kind of accidentally exposed to it.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Well, I think we could use a few people with a little more experience. We've got lots of newbies coming, and it'd be nice to have a couple people who know what they're doing and kind of take these people by the hand and show them.
Come on, the back of the head,
whatever.
The hair. You know,
no, easy.
Huh? Lewis, so I think Lewis and his girlfriend sound good.
I do too.
Yeah. We'll see you Sunday night in Las Vegas. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's get the female perspective. Let's talk to April. She's in the LBC, Fresh for Life, this morning on K-Rock. Hey, April, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fried forever.
I think it's fresh to death.
Oh, is that what it is?
We are good.
Pride for life.
Where are you and your boyfriend on the swinging scale?
Well,
about 300?
Stop it!
Come on, he threw a scale at me.
With my girlfriends, you know, we've gone to parties and stuff, and I really liked it. And for my boyfriend's 40th birthday, instead of throwing him a party, I brought over another girl.
Yes.
And how'd that go?
Okay.
That's a great gift. That's the gift
that
keeps
really
on giving.
He liked it, and I know he wants to do it again. So
okay.
Maybe for a big variety of women, you know, get him into it, and maybe we can have lots of fun.
All right, then.
April, have you ever considered being with another man while your boyfriend was being with another woman? Are you strictly just bisexual and interested in the other women?
Oh, no. Whatever goes. Have a good time.
Oh, jeez. All right, April.
All right.
Party hardy, Marty.
All right, I like April.
I do, too.
She sounds fun. You're not going to ask her any questions?
You yell
Kevin?
At me every time I do.
No, I'm stunned at your self-control here.
Would you put yourself in the fat or ugly category? Those are the only two you can pick from.
I am pretty hot.
That's not a category.
Pretty hot's not a category?
You get fat.
You only get two?
You get fat and you got ugly.
It's either or.
Pick.
I am skinny with big boobs.
Oh, gosh, that sounds horrible, Kevin. Yeah, that sounds awful.
Oh, my God.
You're in, April.
I'm just saying. Thank you, April.
With big boobs.
All right. We're out of time for calls right now. We will do more later on in the show. But the best way so that you don't even have to fight to get through the busy signal is to email ralph@krock.com with a little story about you and your partner. Send photos, please. And
current.
That way
no Photoshop.
Yeah, sure. That way we can call you and have you on hold the next time we give them away. But
yeah, send the phone number, too, because a lot of people are emailing with no way to get a hold of them, and that doesn't work for us.
That doesn't work at all. Yeah. So the party, obviously, is this weekend. Sunday and Monday in Las Vegas, 21 and up. Ralph@krock.com. And more of your calls later on this morning, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I say F monogamy. Yeah! We're going to have a swingers party.
Woo! We have an enormous program today for you, including comedian Kathy Griffin is going to be joining us. Shane West from the new movie about the Germs called What We Do Is Secret. That's a classic L.A. punk band. He'll be coming in later on this morning. Plus, you want to go to college, but you're white, so you can't get a scholarship? We've got a man who can help you coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
Just a little warning before we get into this topic. Hazing. And if you saw the story out of Houston, but it's ugly. It's a cheerleading squad the varsity cheerleaders would haze the junior varsity cheerleaders.
Like the guys do?
Sort of.
No. But
way worse.
These are women cheerleaders we're talking about, though.
Way worse.
That's what I mean. I mean, you know the guys do it, but you don't really expect women to do it.
But when they do, they turn it on. I mean, I have never heard of some of the stuff they did
really?
To each other.
Like what?
Well, I'll play the news piece. You won't believe it either.
Tonight, a group of cheerleaders from the Houston area are accused of hazing younger squad members and taking it too far.
When a girl her pants and puts her pants over another girl's head.
Okay.
No.
What?
No. Are you kidding
me? No. You doctored the tape. Come on.
Look, I've heard a lot of hazing stories. I've had a lot of friends. I'm the type of guy that does the hazing thing. Never involves a pant full.
Never.
Oh, no.
It just never
is that
does.
What they meant?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Why
if
do women have to come along
do it,
and ruin
nobody
don't
do
even
it.
Admit they do that.
They did it, and they shared it.
Oh. Careful.
All right, so you got that going.
No, that's just disgusting.
The school district in Katy over near Houston says it's investigating claims of hazing against a squad of varsity high school cheerleaders. The JV girls say the seniors woke them up in the middle of the night, duct taped, blindfolded, and threw them into a pool.
What?
Family says they want those seniors to be punished and kicked off the squad.
Now,
dude, that sounds like it's against the law.
You would think, right?
Wasn't the follow-up to this story that the cheerleading program was dismantled because of this hazing? Wow. It's interesting. I saw this article in the paper, and I guess the tradition had been, and I've seen this in movies even, the tradition had been they cleared it with the parents ahead of time, and they went and wake the girls up, the new cheerleading girls, up in their homes at 4 a.m., you know, in the middle of the night, and take them and go out and have breakfast or something
right,
like that.
And, right, you hear
and the
about
hazing,
that.
The hazing is that we show up at your house at 4 a.m. and you don't know we're coming, and we drag you out, and you have to come in whatever you're wearing. That's
yes.
The hazing. For some reason, this day they decided breakfast wasn't, no pun intended, on the menu, and instead they were going to duct tape, blindfold, and throw them in a pool. I don't know how
try to drown them.
You know what we should do? We should totally duct tape their hands behind their back, duct tape their feet together, and blindfold them, and then throw them in a swimming pool. I don't know how you go from breakfast to that.
What do you think is going to happen when you do that?
I mean, I imagine that they jumped in and saved them. They just wanted them to think that. I mean,
hope.
There's no murder
it's like
charges.
Water. Why didn't they just waterboard them?
That's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah, for next year, sure.
Because you can't do, I mean, if your feet and hands are taped together, you can't do anything to stay afloat.
No.
I mean, you're just going to sink like a stone, right?
Yeah, that's not a positive.
That is horrifying.
And the cheerleaders were doing this in Houston. So we're going to take some calls from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been involved in some hazing, again, I've heard 1,000 stories, never heard of the pantful thing. That does not seem good.
Oh, no.
That seems bad on every level. You know, I wouldn't do that to a friend of mine who's passed out, drunk.
Yeah.
And you do
yeah.
a lot to those people.
Yeah, that's rough.
Never involves your...
that's
you know.
Beyond disgusting.
Yeah. What do they usually do? What are some more common things that are done for hazing?
Head shaving is real common, especially in football. The seniors will take down the freshmen, especially the guys with the nice, long, flowing hair, and then they hold them down and shave their head. That's mm-hmm. real common.
I know I hear a lot of hijinks that goes on in the baseball world with rookies where they put you know itching powder in your jock strap and
right.
stuff like that. I mean, they do a lot of stuff like that, or fill up your shoes with lemonade or something. But nothing like
that.
What these girls can do.
Yeah, these girls took it
can be mean.
Maybe a step further, maybe just one step further. So 1-800-520-1067. We will take a quick break and come back with your call.
As awesome as cheerleaders are, we found a bad batch on the news from a school just outside Houston, Texas. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a hazing story. They had to disband the entire cheerleading program because some girls decided an appropriate hazing technique would be to get the kids out of their beds at 4 a.m., duct tape their hands and feet together, blindfold them, throw them in a swimming pool. So apparently that didn't go over well when the adults heard about it.
And then they said, you know what? That's not enough. We've got to take it a step further. Who has to go?
Oh,
I mean, come on.
So gross.
I don't know how. I'm not sure how this happens.
So we're talking about the hazing, the things you've done, the things you've endured. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Aaron out in Ontario. This is more the kind of thing that I've heard about for hazing. I guess the cheerleaders were bored by this idea.
Sure.
Hi, Aaron. What's up?
Hey, I was a freshman on the swim and water polo team, and my brother was a senior. And they had the bright idea to line my Speedo with Icy Hot.
Oh, that's good times right there.
Yeah. And that stuff doesn't just wipe off.
No, it turns out it doesn't.
Mm. No, and when it hit that certain part, man, you knew it hit.
What? I don't understand that certain part. What are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
In a swimsuit, Kevin.
No, I'm just kidding.
So how long does it take to get that sting out?
Probably 2 or 3 hours.
Excellent.
Dude. Wow. And were you on the team long enough that you got to do it to somebody younger than you at some point?
Oh, yeah. I'm a senior now, and I've already done it a few times.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Good times.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. See, that's good old-fashioned fun.
Yep.
You don't need to kill someone.
No one drowns with that.
Nobody needs to die. All right. Let's go to Danny in Simi Valley. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hazing.
Okay, I was a freshman, and I made the varsity cross-country team,
And there are a couple other freshmen that made it also. And the seniors on the team, one day on a run while we were stretching, they stole our clothes and made us finish the run naked.
Oh, good times.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Good times. But aren't those usually like where did you run? Were you running through the city? Were you running around a track?
No, we were up in the hills, like behind our town.
So really, there wasn't a lot of people there.
Well, we had to finish the run down through the street back to our school.
Nice, so the run of shame.
It's called streaking.
Yeah.
We had to kind of streak through the school to get to our locker room to put our clothes back on.
I like it. Let's see, fantastic. That's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Right there, that's good times right there.
Let's talk to Armin in Irvine. He's on line 5. This sounds like something that the girls in the story might have enjoyed. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. Tell us your hazing tale.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
All right, so high school, I mean, this happened through my 4 years. I was wrestling, mm-hmm. and what we would do is called the ultimate sit-up. We'd have the new guys lay down in sit-up position, and we'd, like, roll a towel over their eyes and hold it down really, really hard.
Right.
So that when they tried to do a sit-up, you know, they couldn't.
Right.
It was, like, kind of like prove your strength type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what would happen was, like, one of the heavyweights would pull down their pants right over their heads.
Yeah.
So once the guy's really struggling,
you let him go?
Ow. Yeah. So
it's pretty gay, Armin.
Gosh. Called gay. How worse can life get?
Yeah.
Butt hash.
All right. That's awesome. That's a good one, by the way.
That does involve butt hash. That's true.
All right.
Why? I guess the reason so much of hazing involves butts and naked is that it's supposed to be embarrassing for the person.
Yeah, you don't want them to not like it.
Yeah, right. Someone's liking it.
But then, I mean, if someone is liking it, that's why someone keeps coming up with it. I think you're right, Lisa.
You can't do something like that to Ralph.
I'm just eating butts.
See, I mean, that guy, you know,
how's that too much?
How's that hazing?
Let's try Sherry in Long Beach on line 7. Hi, Sherry. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I actually am calling when I was in high school, sophomore, and I was rushing for a club. The girls came in, did the kidnapping, like you guys were talking about at 4 a.m., but they didn't take us to breakfast. They took us to a park. They made us run around the park in our pajamas, and then they put bouillon cubes in our mouth.
Ooh.
Which made me throw up before we were even done running.
Good times.
Now, bouillon cubes, those are kind of like a raw form of something that ends up turning into soup once you cook it and put it in water, right?
Right, and it's very, very salty.
Yeah.
And very strong.
Yes, and very strong.
Yeah.
And then they would, and when we were at school, they'd just make us do embarrassing things, like up and pinch the football players' butts and tell them they were looking good, or just stupid things like that.
But. Yeah, see, that's good old American fun. What are the cheerleaders in Houston doing, for God's sakes? Really?
Yeah, anything that makes you throw up. That's just good fun.
Well, I'm saying, it's certainly, there's no victim there compared to Houston.
Well,
everything's going to be compared to Houston now. Remember those chicks?
True.
Remember, they tied them up, and then they put them in the pool, and then they pooped their pants? Remember that group? They set a new limit.
A new low.
People need to turn it up now. Let's go to Jeremy in Korea. Is this
drunk Jeremy?
Yes, this is.
Drunk Jeremy.
He lives in, drunk what's going Jeremy. On?
He lives in South Korea, and he gets drunk, and he listens to us at night.
He teaches English.
Yeah.
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So when I was in college, I went to Cal State Fullerton, and I played rugby. And when you score a try, that's like scoring a touchdown your first time.
Right.
After the game, you have to – it's called shoot the boot.
Shoot the boot, sure.
We played UCLA, and – After the game, they poured beer in his cleat, in his boot.
Right.
And then they started to pass his cleat around.
Ew.
And first, they started to put ketchup in it.
Good.
And then it started to get passed around. They started hawking loogies.
Good. Excellent.
The last couple of guys pulled their pubic hair out. Hair in it. And then he drank it.
Oh.
Wow.
Good morning.
Wow.
Good morning.
Who's hungry?
Who's hungry? Who's thirsty?
Let's
do a shot.
Let's do a shot. That's funny for you because it's nighttime in Korea, man. We're just starting to think about breakfast. Way to go, Jeremy. Kathy Griffin coming up on the show today. Always very, very funny. Looking forward to that. How to get into college for almost free coming up after the top of the hour, and more tickets to the Kevin Amin F Monogamy Swingers Party in Las Vegas this weekend. All that straight ahead on the KMV show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
2 points. Nice. Unlike Kevin, I will remember both of them. A... It is a swingers party.
Yes.
And I need the guys to know, who are all excited about the idea of going to this swingers party, that a lot of guys are calling saying, yeah, I want to get my girlfriend in a three-way with another chick. Here's the thing. It's going to be all couples there. So you will have to interact with the male half of the couple.
Sexually.
Not sexually.
Okay.
But regardless of what happens, you will be dealing with him. You know, so don't assume you're just going to walk up to some dude and say, yeah, I'm going to borrow your wife for 2 hours. I'll see you later.
Might be back, might not.
And then the guy just, oh, okay, I'm going to go play some video poker. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, we have many questions.
Keep in mind that a swingier situation is like going on a blind date twofold. You have to get along with the female, but you also have to get along with the male, too. Ideally, in the best-case scenario, it becomes sort of like a friendship where two couples hang out together and like each other's company, and then whatever happens beyond that is sort of like bonus.
Or gravy.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind, fellas. And point B, we got to step in before it gets out of hand.
What gets out of hand?
Dave, the king of Mexico,
yeah,
is growing a rat tail.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Are you aware of this?
He's growing a rat tail and is very proud of it.
He's super excited about the rat tail and is a big plan for the rat tail. He's going to grow it long and do that rat taily Brady thing. And then he's going to dye it.
No.
Wow.
That's his plan.
No.
Yeah. And look, I think something has to happen now.
The rat tail, look, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is just the long little skinny like ponytail.
Rat tail was popular, I think, during the Reagan era.
Yeah. You mostly now only see it on little boy kids that are about 5. They're, for some reason, they think it's cool and their parents let him do it.
Or wise samurais from, like, you know, the Ming Dynasty.
Yeah.
That's
right,
Dave,
we don't have time to deal with this right now.
We don't have time for your horrible rat tail.
You're mistaken, dude. I'm not going to braid it. It's going to be small. It's going to be a little ducktail. It's going to be awesome. No, everyone's going to start doing it, so
look,
enjoy that.
This is Bean speaking.
And
I'm the king of bad hair, all right?
Yeah. Enjoy.
And I say no. And I say that's even bad by my standards.
Marco, welcome back the rat tail.
Woo! You're all alone there.
Woo!
Are you or are you not planning on dyeing it?
I was thinking about it. I don't know if I will now, but, you know.
All right, this is a conversation for another time.
You know, it's looking good with the little curls.
It's not looking good.
It is looking... Oh, wait, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's looking bad.
So, all right. Get out of here.
Bye. Rat tail, everybody.
Woo! All right.
But I see a forced haircut at some point.
I like it.
Yes.
I think there will be holding down of someone, and then there will be shearing.
Maybe. I like it.
Maybe we'll just go right to the scalp.
Good.
Maybe we'll just give him that
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Just give him that cholo look. Get him a flannel shirt he can button up at the top and just shave his head. And
That's right, Mexico. Or as I like to call it, God's blind spot.
Maybe tattoo a teardrop on his eye. I say we go for it. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Janet Jackson's got a new venture.
Yeah.
She's joining the list of music stars who are now designers. Yeah. She is helping design a new line of bras.
All righty, then.
How ironic.
That is.
And if she had worn a bra a few years ago.
Super Bowl.
Our lives would be very different.
We'd still be able to do
sex you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
how dare she.
They will be sold for $40 a pop, and they're called, wait for it, the Pleasure Principle bras.
Well,
See? Because she had a very popular song years ago called the Pleasure Principle.
Wow. Come on. You know?
There's something for every woman, and that's very important. I've always hated when lingerie is uncomfortable, so the fit and comfort was key, says Janet. Let me tell you something. That is the entirety of her involvement in the Pleasure Principle bra line. I guarantee you. Yeah, I don't think she's sitting in a room designing bras anywhere.
At the risk of starting an argument, does she still get a bell?
No. Janet Jackson, she still looks good.
She looks pretty good lately. She dropped a ton of weight, and she looks good. And you know black don't crack.
But she fluctuates literally week to week.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, by 100 pounds week to week.
It is insane how much weight she can put on and or lose in a given month.
All right.
She does it based on whether she has an album coming out or not. So in between albums, she's 200 pounds, no joke. And then she goes, all right, I got a record coming out in 4 months. Time to drop it. And for some reason, she's able to do it and look fantastic the day the record drops. I don't know what she does.
Yeah, it's nutty.
All right.
But today, she gets the bell. Tomorrow, she might
maybe
be
not.
50 pounds heavier.
Don't know.
We might have to hold off. Jessica Simpson also is getting into a new line of work. She is going to become a spokesperson for a beer. She will appear in ads for Stampede Light.
Oh, yes.
A beer that apparently is a is based in Dallas, Texas.
Sure.
And is a local brew there, and she will be the spokesperson for Stampede Light. They should say, how many Stampede Lights do you have to drink before Jessica Simpson starts sounding good to you?
Wow.
That should be their entire campaign.
Stampede Light.
More celebrity advertising news. Michael Phelps, as you can imagine, will be appearing on a cereal box.
He's a U.S. swimmer that got 8 gold medals.
8 gold medals.
Yeah.
But it's not the Wheaties box.
Oh.
Apparently Kellogg's has signed him first. So he will be on Frosted Flakes and Corn Flakes by mid-September.
How much does it say?
Does not say how much he's getting, but
they were talking on the Olympics the other night that he could make $100 million off endorsements in the next couple of years as a result of these Olympics.
God, how's that possible?
That's what I was thinking, Lisa, because it's an amazing achievement, obviously, but I don't put him in the same class as like a Tiger Woods or a Michael Jordan
or somebody
who you have followed their career and their personality and their overall impact sort of gives you someone to look up to, and you can see why they endorse products, you know? Phelps is sort of like a one-off, right?
I see him on a box of cereal or something, but...
But $100 million worth of endorsements for all different kinds of products?
I don't know. I think you're right, Ralph, and part of it is that Tiger's on TV 40 weeks a year. When Jordan was playing, he was on TV 30 weeks a year or whatever it is.
There's a celebrity factor there.
Right. For most of us, Phelps is a once every 4 years deal, even though he does continue to swim and win medals, you know, throughout the year. We don't really hear about those events because they're not significant. But
right.
I guess right now, while he's hot, he'll be signing a lot of deals, though.
It's true. Couldn't be hotter.
Maybe he can get the lift taken care of.
He's not a good-looking guy.
No.
He's just goofy-looking.
We look on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yeah. We got in the other room, and he just looks like he won 8 medals in the Special Olympics. That's
he's
what
McLovin.
He looks like.
McLovin on steroids.
He's a bit of a mouth breather, and he's interesting. He's got an interesting
quality.
And he also,
it's not like he has an overwhelming, pleasant, or dominating personality. If you've heard the guy
barely there.
Yeah, barely there. He just swims. That's it.
Here's a shocker. Tom Arnold's getting divorced again.
Oh,
what?
God's sake.
This is the third time around for Tom.
He needs to stop.
Who's marrying this guy, first of all?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so disappointed.
And you deserve it if you marry Tom Arnold. His divorce was finalized yesterday from his third wife, Shelby Ruse.
They haven't been married that long.
They got married in mid-2002.
6 years.
They were separated for a while in 2006, and then they separated again this past May. Hmm. She walks away with $15,000 a month in spousal support, and he gets to keep their home in Tarzana, California.
He still makes that kind of dough?
I suppose.
Tom Arnold.
I don't even know what he does
anymore. I haven't seen him.
I'm guessing he probably is a road comic at this point.
Could be.
He probably just makes personal appearances because you're right. I haven't seen him on television or film since that Best Damn Sports Show period.
Right.
That's the thing
right.
I remember him being in. And Sharon Stone, this is going to come as a shock to you, is a cougar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
That's a given.
In Touch Weekly says that she's been hanging out with a guy named Chase Dreyfuss.
Come on.
Sharon is 50. Chase Dreyfuss is 24 years old today.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
So that's quite a difference.
Yeah.
I guess if you're Sharon Stone, you get to ride on your laurels, you know? You're still considered sexy because you showed your cooch once in a movie 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So you make that noise, and then that's all that matters.
Wow.
Keira Knightley has no problem showing off her cans, or lack thereof. But she is very wary of showing her ass.
Why?
She says she refuses to let her hindquarters be seen on film.
She doesn't like it, maybe.
What's not to like?
Yeah. Women are very self-critical.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
She's got a great butt. She says that going topless is never an issue, but she always wants a body double if a scene requires her to show her bare buns.
Hmm.
Sweetie, you're good. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. It's all spectacular.
I love fat asses.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Hayden Panettiere, speaking of spectacular butts, is 19 years old today. Just seems like just yesterday we were just dying for her to turn 18.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And now, good things are happening. Brody Jenner turns 25 years old today. Serge Tankian.
Clydale.
Oh, he's not here.
No.
Is 41. Carrie Ann Moss also turns 41 today. Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 52 years old today. Kenny Rogers, country music legend, is 70. So I just saw him recently in Las Vegas, Kenny Rogers.
Oh, you had so much fun, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
Oh, you hate it.
If you're going to be in Vegas, people, don't do that.
Don't go to that show?
Don't go to that show. Mm-mm. Go to something else.
So many other things to do. Why waste your time with that?
Why was he bad? Does he just not sing well anymore? You just hate all his songs.
I'm not a big country music fan.
What?
I don't know if you really? Pick up on that or not.
I hadn't heard that.
So I went because my in-laws, it was their anniversary. We took them as a gift, and they're big fans. So we got tickets for them.
But if you liked his songs, did he put on a good show?
He still sounds just like he did. So I guess that's what you want in a sort of a nostalgia act, right?
You
want
them to sound like they do. Close your eyes.
If you close your eyes and look at his hideously malformed face,
then you can imagine it's Kenny Rogers.
Say, wow, it sounds just like that Kenny Rogers.
Is it possible to drink and gamble 100 feet away from that place, though?
No, it was in one of those showrooms because he sort of had to. I mean, you could have if you stepped outside the showroom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Drinking and gambling right outside the door.
Then I'm out.
But I unfortunately was on the wrong side of that door.
In-laws, you enjoy that.
Yeah. I wish I could have, but the wife was also kind of excited about going, so. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices,
sometimes.
Kevin.
Not Kenny Rogers.
Hey, you don't have to tell Kevin. He's seen Barbra Streisand 30 times.
That's true. Bette Midler. Who else have you gone to?
I didn't see Bette Midler.
Sure you did. You made out with her, remember? You said you made out with her backstage? You don't remember because you got that brain thing. But...
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. I didn't realize that happened.
Yeah. You're taking her to the swingers party, I heard.
Yeah, sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So in high school, the dude applied for and got over $90,000 in college scholarships, Kevin. When he was in high school, he was already smarter than I'll ever be. I don't know how you do that, but the guy has parlayed into a career. The book is called How to Go to College for Almost Free. Author Ben Kaplan on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ben, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How's it going? Great to be on the program.
It's great to talk to you. And you also, in addition to the 90 grand you got for college in high school, you also ended up going to Harvard and graduating magna cum laude. Is that right?
Well, that's right. You know, the $90,000 paid for almost everything. So thank you for mentioning that, because my parents are still dancing around the house to this day. Basically,
no kidding.
Moves that should never be done in public anymore, not by them at least. But it was an amazing experience because I grew up as a competitive tennis player. Always assumed I'd go to school on a tennis scholarship, but I got an injury in my lower back. It took me out of tennis for a while. Needed a different way to pay for school, and I discovered accidentally, really, that there are these tens of thousands of scholarship providers. So I wrote little essays, got letters of recommendations, sent in list of my activities, and I didn't really think much of it. And to my amazement, I started winning these awards, and it changed my life. And now I'm just trying to spread the word about all the resources that are out there, because really, they don't come knocking on your door. You have to go knocking on theirs.
They don't, but that brings me to my next point, which is that you see stuff like this come along all the time. And I know for a fact that if I were to try the, hey, I'd like to go to college on a Klingon language scholarship, they would laugh me out of the office. I mean, this is stuff that sounds like loopholes that could never be taken advantage of by normal people.
Well, you know, there's so many scholarships out there. You alluded to one from the Klingon Language Institute. It's actually a group of Star Trek fans. You don't have to speak Klingon, but you have to have a love for language, and it's a college scholarship for that. Or here's another example.
Wait a minute. What college is it for?
It's actually for any school.
It's just money.
That's one point about the two dozen scholarships I won were all portable. So I could use them at the school of my choice. And so that's really important, because you can do this and not have your school even picked out yet. It could be a community college, a public school, a private school. So there's all of these private organizations, foundations, community groups. You know, the Klingon Language Institute is one of them. There's another one sponsored by the Western Nude Sunbathing Society.
Yes.
I didn't personally win this one, but you have to write an essay on what nudism means to me. And I've never been to the awards ceremony, but I'm guessing it's very casual attire. I'm just guessing.
So, but Ben, why does the Sunbathing Association, why do they give away money for people to go to college? I mean, what is their motivation?
Well, you know, all of these groups, there's different motivations. One is to, you know, do something to support their members, to give something back to the community, to get some PR publicity benefits from all of this. Some of the scholarships I won from companies that gave me money include Coca-Cola, Discover Card, Tylenol.
All right, hold on.
Help pay for my college.
Okay, hold on.
Other groups. Oh, sure.
Hold on.
How does Coca-Cola give you money for? I mean, how do you get money from them? I drink Coke. I didn't get anything.
Right. Well, you know, and actually, if you're listening and you want to find out about any more of these, my website, cityofcollegedreams.org, we have some scholarship search tools. But here's Coca-Cola is featured on the website. Here's an example. They have a program called the Coca-Cola Scholars Program. It's for all high school seniors across the country. And it's a huge program. They have hundreds of scholarship winners, and it's something they just do as part of their foundation. That they have a foundation, they want to give back, they've targeted education, and they have a great scholarship program to do that. So there's big companies like that, but don't neglect the small local scholarships. So I got a scholarship from a group called the Washington Crossing Foundation, mm-hmm. which is a group of people who like to remember George Washington's historic crossing of the Delaware River.
No, that doesn't exist.
So there you go. I actually wrote an essay about George Washington's crossing of the Delaware and how it inspires me today. I got a scholarship for that. So, you know,
unbelievable.
I
don't doubt that these scholarships exist, but you graduated from Harvard. You're obviously a really smart guy. What about kids that aren't that? You know, they're just average.
Don't look at me when you say that.
Are these scholarships for them?
Well, I think Ben is saying is that he won those scholarships not because he was smart, though, but because he knew that they existed, and he was one of the few people who applied for the money, maybe.
But he's obviously writing really good essays, too.
Well, you know, it's a combination of both. I mean, here's an example. You can check out this winning essay on cityofcollegedreams.org. It's from a scholarship winner who won a really prestigious scholarship from prison. So he was actually locked up behind bars.
Wow.
People think, well, how in the world did he win the scholarship? And he's not a great writer or anything like that. And the question was, it was sponsored by a patriotic group. The essay question was, what would he do if he could give freedom away? And he talked about how he didn't even know what freedom was until literally he went to prison, had his freedom taken away, and how he was trying to turn his life around.
So you're saying that if we want to go to college, first we have to go to prison. Is that your point?
Yes,
that's the message I'm hearing.
You need to go to prison. No, that's not. But the point is that, I mean, in an application, what you need to do is do something called painting your portrait, showing who you are, not just what you've done. Mm-hmm. Right? If that prison guy is, you know, judged on what he's done, he's not going to get it. But instead, he showed that how he was a different person, who the person he had the potential to be, and you try to make that emotional connection with judges. One simple tip if you're listening, look at past winning essays and applications. A lot of scholarship websites now post them on their websites. Some of my winning scholarship essays are in my book.
And you can cut and paste. That's what I did. Yeah. I cut and pasted those.
Yeah, I don't think that's what's recommended.
All right. Plagiarized last year's winner.
Oh, don't.
Get
okay.
an idea of what it takes.
All right.
Listen, Ben, we're almost out of time. It sounds to me like the number one message, and again, cityofcollegedreams.org, you can go to our benkaplan.com. The book is called How to Go to College for Almost Free. It seems like the number one thing that would be good for our listeners, particularly people in high school thinking about going to college, is don't just count on an academic or an athletic scholarship. Dig a little deeper, and you'd be surprised at how much help is out there available for people. Because let's face it, college isn't getting any cheaper.
That's exactly right. You know, there's great ones for artists or for students who work part-time, and again, nothing to do with grades. And the other thing I want to just quickly mention is this isn't just high school juniors and seniors. Throughout college, as you pick an academic major, there are more scholarships, grad school. Even for adults going back to school, Talbot's, the women's clothing store, actually has 55 different scholarships for women who've been out of school a number of years who want to go back. So you can do this at any age, even younger kids, even for kids under 14, there are scholarships as well. So, juniors, seniors in high school, if you're listening, get started on this right away. There's a lot to do right now because a lot of deadlines happening this back-to-school time. But whatever your age is, you can do this as well.
Ben Kaplan, thanks for joining us on the Kevin Amin Show, man. Very interesting. We appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
In England, their CIA is the MI5. That's what they call it.
Right.
And for about 20, 30 years, they have been saying that gays are not welcome.
Well, they're just like us.
And the reason that they said that at the time was because that they were susceptible to blackmail.
Unlike men.
Well, I mean, that's what's funny about it is really anyone is susceptible
to
blackmail.
Course.
But
sure,
they had a secret they don't want told. So MI5 for all these years has said, oh, sorry, you're too much of a liability. We're not interested.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did they just hire openly gay guys then who couldn't be blackmailed because everyone already knew they were gay?
That's what they're doing now.
Oh,
they've actually,
I see.
They've
changing
actually,
policy.
They've changed their policy entirely. Now they're advertising to get gay and lesbian people in the MI5 so that they can, get good benefits, good salary, and help protect the country.
That's great.
Let's find out more about this new development with Clive Davenport, who's on the line with us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. He is an MI5 recruitment officer. Good morning, Mr. Davenport.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good.
Well, first terrific, of all, sir. Let me correct you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
The MI5
certainly
is actually comparable to your FBI.
Oh, FBI. Okay, I apologize.
Well, we deal mostly in domestic surveillance and information gathering.
Okay. Okay. So we do have the information correct from the newspaper here, though, sir, that your latest recruitment drive, you're not only looking for more women for the MI5, minorities, people with language skills, but you're now looking for openly gay men and women.
Absolutely. I am very open to gays coming in and working with me closely at MI5.
Okay. Okay. Now, is there, what are the...
Are you
what
playing a video game?
No, I'm here at our training facility in Kensington.
Oh, that's actual gunfire.
Yes,
okay.
So sorry, wow. I'm a bit close to the range, to the shooting range.
No problem.
But I'll try to keep my distance.
What kinds of things do the gay men, for instance, that you're advertising for, need to be able to do or need to know in order to be successful spies?
I will be working closely with the gay agents myself, and I will be bringing in gentlemen who know. Well, first of all, they need to be able to handle a gun.
Right.
Preferably a large caliber gun. Something huge.
Right.
Something
right.
Long-barreled.
Right.
A pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with some firepower, right.
Some enormous bullets.
Right.
Also, they'll need to know hand-to-hand combat, which I'll be teaching them personally.
Okay.
And being able to fight in the nude.
Well, now,
because quite often you find yourself in a situation where you don't have your clothes to count on.
You do?
Quite often.
Quite
often. You wouldn't know, not being spies, but...
Oh, I guess.
But quite
that
often, you're in a sauna, perhaps, doing some surveillance, or in a steam room.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you've got some foreign national attacking you, ripping your towel right off your waist.
We laugh, but who saw Eastern Promises with Viggo Mortensen? That's exactly what happened to that spy.
Same thing.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
Good point.
Of course, surveillance is important.
Mm-hmm.
You need to not only know how to surveil someone, but also how to know when you're being watched.
Okay.
So I will often look in on the gentleman while they're sleeping, or showering, or changing, and something else.
Mr. Davenport, this isn't just a personal ad for you to meet men, is it? I mean, you really
you're
do work for the MI5.
You need to know how to disarm explosive devices.
Okay.
Something's about to explode.
Right, right.
Explode all over you.
Oh. What?
Before it explodes, you need to be able to handle it and make sure it detonates safely.
Okay.
No one is hurt by the explosion.
Could I get a hand check on you, Mr. Davenport? I don't
want to... Also, you need to know how to report into your superiors like myself. So when the gentlemen go out in the field, I'm always happy to debrief them when they come back.
Okay.
So I debrief them, take their briefs.
That's not what that means. You don't take their briefs off when you debrief them.
I didn't say off. I just take them.
No.
Take
their briefs, okay. I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. So, and also, if you're ever caught in a dire situation where it looks like you have no way out, we also teach our MI5 agents that you have to, we give them these cyanide capsules.
Right.
So that they can commit suicide rather than divulge important information to the enemy.
Oh, right. It's very dangerous, yeah.
And so, due to the size of the capsules, I will teach...
Come on. Come on.
I want to hear. You will what?
I will have to teach the new recruits how to swallow.
Alrighty. Oh,
yeah. We'll have to work on suppressing the gag reflex.
Sure.
That big a pill, is it?
It's a huge capsule.
Wow.
And it goes from the back of your throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to... choke.
Right, that makes sense.
No, you wouldn't want to at all.
So you need to suppress your gag reflex.
I see.
Certainly.
You'd be there to
what help. What was that last part?
So with all that said and done, by the end of training with me, a young, virile, in-shape, physically fit man could be 007. Or 008, or 009, or 9 or 10. 10 is good.
Whatever it takes.
Circumcised, I don't care.
What?
That got
I'm sorry. Oh, gunfire is loud here.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, yes.
Oh, now it is, actually.
Yes.
All right, well, best of luck with that.
I need to go change my pants now.
Okay. Our favorite comedian, Kathy Griffin, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, and more tickets for the Kevin Amin F Monogamy Swingers Party. Now, speaking of the swinging, Kevin, of course, I'm an expert. I know it all. But sure. There may be some people listening who may be new to the idea of swinging. They're thinking about our big party in Las Vegas at Caesars this weekend, but they don't really know what it's all about. They've heard the term, they've heard some stories, but they need some expert advice. And that's why we've got John and Allie on the phone right now. John and Allie at swingercast.com, a podcast series available all about sex and swinging. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Sean Kerrick. Morning, you guys.
Hey.
Thank you for joining us. Now, a little background quickly before we talk about swinging. What's your story? What's the deal with you two guys?
Well, we're a couple. We've been married for 16 years, been in the lifestyle for about 6, and like you said, we produce a little podcast series about swinging and the lifestyle.
Okay. And what is it, when people ask you about swinging, what is it that, what's the biggest misconception you would say you run across?
I would think that it would be that couples are getting into this to try to fix something in your marriage or try to spice up things. I think the people that are getting into this already have good sex life and communication, and that might be one of the ones.
That's why we wanted to have you on, is because we need a little Swingers 101. We need a little help, because we have received a bunch of phone calls from people saying, you know, things just haven't been the same. Maybe this will spice it up. Maybe this will help.
But it certainly does spice it up.
Yep. It does spice it up, but don't you need to come to it from a position of strength rather than weakness?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How popular is swinging? I know that's a tough question to answer, but is there any way to know, any way to put some sort of a percentage on it in terms of the number of couples that may be into it?
John, you want to go there?
It's actually growing and developing and becoming more and more popular. But all of that aside, the number one thing about it is that it really doesn't matter. It really comes down to how you can help your own relationship and how you have fun with other people, and not worry about so much about, you know, what the neighbors might think or who's doing it or is it acceptable or is it okay. It's okay as long as it's okay with you and your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Now, for first-timers that show up, I know there are a lot of people who are afraid because they don't know all of the ins and outs, so to speak. And, you show up and you think you're going to have to take off your clothes or what. I mean, what's the etiquette like for the first time?
You know what's funny and interesting to me is, first of all, if you're new, you should definitely just let the women, control things or do things and go at their speed. And it's also interesting to me, I hear from a lot of first time women who are involved in the lifestyle, and they're so concerned that they're going to get jumped, that they're going to get people are just going to swarm all over them, and then they get to the party and then that doesn't happen,
right?
And then they're like, oh, what the hell's wrong with me?
Well, how come no one swarmed me?
Yeah, why aren't they jumping me? Why aren't they all over it,
So they're afraid it's going to be some sort of a feeding frenzy, yet it's pretty well established that the etiquette is go ahead and just be cool, particularly with the new people, and let them kind of approach you a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. Swingers are respectful, and there's a lot of respect understood in the swinging lifestyle. I actually got us into the lifestyle, and he's right. It's pretty much a female run as far as a big feminine vibe to it.
Sure.
There kind of has to be, because guys are just horn dogs. That just would never work.
Now, if you're just tuning in, John and Allie are on the phone. They are a couple who run a podcast at swingercast.com. The website is great, by the way. It's so much more than just a podcast. There's all sorts of stories on there from members and chat rooms and just a lot of great information about everything having to do with swinging. I would imagine that at least the vibe I'm getting from a lot of people we're talking to this week about our party is they think they're going to be cool with it. But I wonder how many, after the fact, when they wake up that next day after our party in Vegas, for instance, are going to regret it. Do you ever hear stories like that with people going, man, I thought it would be cool, but now I just feel like I shouldn't have done it?
I don't think we hear too much of that.
No.
Hey, Buzzkill.
What was that?
I said, hey, Buzzkill, nice question.
No, but I'm just saying, you don't really know what you're going to feel like until you do it. And, you know, there have to be situations where the woman wakes up the next day and goes, wow, now I can't get out of my head that my man was with another woman last night, and it really starts to bug me. I mean, that has to be a pitfall to consider at least, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know, I would say with that regard to that is that will happen if you haven't done your homework beforehand. If you have not talked things out with your spouse or your partner before you do something, you may have regrets. If you just say, you know, we're going to go to this party and we may do something with someone else, we may just be with each other, we may just watch other people, we might just soft swap, we might, you know.
That brings us to the language. We don't have as much time as we want, but soft swap, hard swapped, on premise, what's all this stuff?
It's all fun.
No, I know, but I'm saying maybe you can.
Can you define it?
You can define it for the people who aren't familiar.
Soft swap has a lot of different meanings to a lot of different people, depending on what your involvement in the lifestyle is. But
that hasn't happened since Viagra, right?
That's not the kind of soft they're talking about here, Kevin. I don't think.
Sorry.
Soft swap might mean just like trading partners for oral pleasure.
Okay.
I don't know how explicit we can be.
That's about it.
Good enough.
That's about the limit. That's the limit right there. And what about the on-premise, off-premise? What's that?
There are clubs that are on-premise, meaning that they allow sex to take place on the premises of the club.
Oh, at the actual club. Okay.
At the actual club. Is your party going to be an on-premise or an off-premise sex party?
Well, technically, it's a little of both. It's off-premise in that where the party's being held at Caesars, obviously no sex allowed there, but everybody's staying. Everybody has a room at the hotel, so it's kind of on-premise in that it's just an elevator right away.
So that would be an off-premise party?
That's right.
Yeah.
At Caesars Palace, so we might go there, meet another couple, and then take them to our room and seduce them.
I got you.
That's the plan. I think that's what we're looking forward to.
And finally, just because you guys have so much experience, would you say that 95% of swingers are fat and or ugly?
No.
98?
98? Well, yes, not high enough?
Let me put down my ribs and my cheeseburger.
I'm not sure where I got that perception from, but I did, and I don't know.
Yeah, where did you get that?
I don't know.
A lot of people share that, though. There are people that we have talked to this week, you guys, who said we've poked around, we've thought about it in the past, but we've kind of been turned off by the other people that we've met or seen online or whatnot that have been in a lifestyle. I think it's hard for people, maybe they don't know where to look to find the younger people in who are still swinging.
No. We compare it to kind of like being at a sex party is sometimes kind of like being at the airport, you know, or the grocery store. You're going to see people of all walks of life.
And you can ask for a full cavity search at both places. It's exactly the same.
All right, we're out of time, but if you want to check out the podcast and check out the website, they're both at swingercast.com, especially if you're new to, quote-unquote, the lifestyle and you want to learn the tips for the newbies. That's all up there, too. John and Allie have been our guests. Thanks, you guys, for coming on. We enjoyed it.
When state officials call a Flex Alert, that's your signal to start saving energy immediately. For tips and updates, visit FlexYourPower.org.
Oh.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I spent like 4 hours on FlexYourPower.org yesterday.
But you
learned entertaining.
I sprained my power. I was flexing it so much yesterday. I had to ice it down.
Did it make your foot loose?
It did. Right down around my ankle.
Comedian Kathy Griffin joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
How would you like to hang out with Barack Obama tonight?
Tonight?
Tonight's the night at the star-studded Hollywood fundraising reception.
Is he going to party?
He won't be there.
How do you know?
I heard it this morning.
Oh, shut up.
He's in Virginia because he was accused of hanging out with Hollywood too much, so he's not going to the party. Sorry.
But they'll take their money, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Buzzkill.
There's huge people there.
Yeah, big fat people.
They're swinging.
It's $1,000 just to get through the door.
Wow.
If you could get tickets, which, by the way, you almost... can't. It's the hottest ticket in Hollywood.
But he's not going to be there?
$2,300 for VIP tickets.
Wow.
It is called the Black and White Gala for Barack Obama.
It's got to be black. Got to be black.
Man, try to squeeze a joke in. Seriously, try it. Try it with these people.
I would
see how far you get.
Dominated!
Try it again. We won't butt in.
It's called the Black and White Gala for Barack Obama. Hosts are Don Cheadle, Ashley Judd, Jessica Alba, and Lucy Liu.
Hey!
Wow.
Shouldn't it be called then the Black and White and Tan and Yellow Gala for Barack Obama? Because they're adding Jessica Alba and Lucy Liu. You
know? Nicely done.
It's worth waiting for.
Yeah.
Well, I wish we would have.
Oh, you wish you would have.
That's how I feel every day.
Can I just talk over you because I have to say something right now? Even though it doesn't really add anything.
I have to ask, what do you get, if Barack Obama's not going to be there, what do you get for $2,300 for the VIP ticket?
I am usually not on the catering staff.
I don't know, but I think these people genuinely want him to win the election, and they all have lots of money.
And they're raising money for his campaign. Yeah. That's all they're doing. Just putting some coin in the battle coffers, that's all. Is that all right for you?
Sure, I was just curious. Because usually the extra money is to meet the candidate, get your picture taken or whatever. That's why I was curious.
All right.
Back to you, Ralph.
Juliana Hoff has a new boyfriend.
Oh!
That's not right.
He's not right for her?
She should just be free and single for us all to use as we see fit. Her latest boyfriend is Chuck Wicks.
What? Oh, Chuck Wicks.
Chuck Wicks is his name.
This
and
is
crazy. I have, as you can imagine, I have no idea, but I believe he is a country western singer.
Oh, perfect.
Who she met while they were touring with Brad Paisley. Seriously, with these names. Brad Paisley. Paisley is a pattern. It's not a name. She said, though, don't look for those two hitting up the nightclub circuit with the paparazzi taking the pictures. They like to ride bikes together and visit amusement parks for fun. Oh, she's so wholesome.
Yeah, she is.
I say sometimes she and Chuck like to go out and rape penguins.
What?
I just wanted to dirty it up a little bit. She's boring. She's boring me. Do something.
Anything interesting.
And Kevin, I've got your plans already set for the Labor Day weekend.
All right. What are they?
Universal Pictures is releasing a special edition of Mamma Mia into selected theaters nationwide on the Labor Day weekend. These special screenings will have the lyrics of all the songs printed on the bottom of the screen in subtitles.
It's a sing-along?
So that the audience members can sing along, Lisa.
Woo!
You need to sing along with Mamma Mia.
Woo!
That sounds not good.
You and me, Kevin. Let's go. Come on.
Game.
We'll do harmonies. We'll do some harmonies. What do you say?
I'm saying no. I'm saying sounds bad.
Take a chance on me.
No.
Oh, dude, lame.
The winner takes it all. The loser is standing small. Yeah. Besides his victory, that's what's left for me. Maybe I do need those lyrics on the screen.
There's only one thing worse than normal theater crowds, which talk on the phone and text and everything else, and that's them singing. That's a bad
So far, Mamma Mia has made $320 million worldwide. Huge, huge hit. People love their ABBA.
Yeah.
I've always said it.
You've said that from the beginning.
Since I was born, I said it.
Yep.
Save the day die.
Till the day I die. Today's celebrity birthdays. Her name is Hayden Panettiere.
Yes.
She's magic. She's spectacular. I can't wait for the new season of Heroes to start. She's so good.
It's all on the way. All pretty much September, right?
Yep. I just was just realizing it's about, I don't know, 2.5 weeks until football season starts.
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait.
Now we're talking.
Brody Jenner is 25 years old today. You know him because he's got a talent for.
Well, I think his dad.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner's dad. Yeah, Bruce Jenner's son. Yeah, he's 25. Alicia Vitt is 33 years old today.
Do we have a special birthday greeting for her today?
I believe we do.
Happy birthday to you.
Go on, everybody.
Happy birthday to you.
Loves Alicia
Happy
for some reason.
Happy birthday, dear Alicia. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Alicia, my homegirl. You cool.
You cool.
She cool.
She's so beautiful, too.
Carrie Ann Moss is 41 years old today. Kim Cattrall is 52 years old today. Mm-hmm. And Serge Tankian.
Good day!
Is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. Where am I getting that? What am I going to do at an army hospital? And they just said, show the t-. I said, all right, that's all I got. Now, I got to ask.
opposite. My mom and I are opposite. She's very, very Catholic, and I am what you would call a fallen Catholic. I fell so far, I woke up in Beijing, but that's me. Don't you love the new crazy Britney? She's our new Liza! So they're all coming from Utah to see Oprah. Now, let's call it like it is. You know that some of those Osmonds had never seen a black person before. Come on! My act is based on saying, you know, possibly disparaging things about celebrities. Oh, we've now arrived at the heterosexual man part of my show. So straight guys, wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hilarious Kathy Griffin!
On the D-List, season finale tonight, 10 o'clock, Bravo. Miss Griffin would like to file an early complaint that there's no mention of her winning an Emmy in her intro here,
double,
Kevin. What's the problem
Emmy
with
nominee.
That?
Double Emmy.
Excuse me.
Didn't put that in, yeah. We'll update that. Sorry.
Got to.
Can you even guess at what the categories are?
Best reality show.
Thank you. Thank you. Best non-competition reality show.
I haven't seen it.
Best comedy special?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Well done, Lisa.
Why do I waste my time with the rest of them?
I don't know. Talk
to
me,
sweetie. Best supporting actress?
I'm right there with you.
Best supporting actress?
I don't know.
It's my own show.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Kathy, I thought you didn't go anywhere without the Emmy you've already won. I don't see you carrying it with you this morning. Where is
because
it?
Because I got tired of people giving me guff for having my Emmy everywhere, and now I have to have it in protective custody.
I see.
Yes. I have to just leave it from gay bar to gay bar, and then have a team of gays watch over it with some sort of laser beam action. None of them,
like
by the way,
Stanley
will be
Cup.
At your disgusting swinger party.
And by disgusting, you mean super hot.
I don't even think you think it's hot. You're laughing.
Well, I'm
I heard
afraid.
You in a commercial saying that there should be a one drink minimum, and you're the bar bang police.
I'm right. No, I'm afraid that it's going to be fat and ugly people. That's my fear. So that's what we're trying to make sure it's not. Because a lot
Kathy,
of times,
what
that's...
We're,
so it's going to be like a Velvet Rope Studio 54, but where everyone's naked.
No, they're not going to be naked at the party.
We've never really done this before, so we're winging it.
What a good start that is.
It's going to be sexually charged, though, and we think it's going to be like an episode of The Hills. There'll be so much drama with who likes who. I mean, these are couples who've been together.
And they're all going to look just
like that. They are.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
These are couples who have been together who have been monogamous pretty much up till this point, and now all of a sudden they're going to be allowed to, with their partner's approval, have sex with somebody else. And I just think that we're setting them up for a lot of drama. I bet half the couples that go to this party will come back on separate flights and broken up.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, I would love to see 5 seconds of drama on The Hills, because when I watch The Hills, it's LC goes to fashion class and gets a pencil next week on The Hills.
Spencer, why is she talking about you like that?
I don't even know who this bitch is. Why is she clowning me?
Dude,
did he just get $100,000 to say that?
He did, yeah.
Wow.
Yes, he did.
For less.
No, he's got a very high quote. Yeah.
Kathy, I think you would love The Hills. It seems like that would be a show you and the gays would be addicted to, no?
No, The Hills makes me want to kill myself, and here's why.
Wow.
I have a fatwa out on all the members of The Hills.
You do? I didn't know white people could do that.
Well, I started.
Okay.
And why is because on My Life on the D-List, we work very hard. We go to Iraq. We go to Bora Bora, Mexico, all over the country.
Are you saying you give people something to watch?
Yes. We're constantly on and off planes. We're trying to do things, exciting things, things that have never been done. On The Hills, maybe somebody buys a skirt next week on The Hills.
That's the season finale. They save that for the good one.
Exactly. And then, during the drama on The Hills that they talk about, a lot of the drama is just two girls going, So, I mean, I'm just not cool. And then next episode, I guess I'm cool. And that's it. I mean, I really thought it was going to be like, I thought it was going to be like the Bad Girls Club, where they throw beer bottles at each other.
No.
Somebody goes to the hospital.
No, that's real fighting. That's not real
fighting.
I like
an episode that ends with a woo! And then you really want to watch next week.
You want to see a little more Tila Tequila action on The Hills.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes, Tila Tequila or Tanisha from the Bad Girls.
Oh, Tanisha.
Or just ultimate fighting. And I don't even believe in that. But just once an episode, there should be some ultimate fighting.
Somebody should throw down.
Kathy, your reality show, not only Emmy winner, but expert on the genre. A lot of people have said that what turned them off about The Hills is that it's not at all realistic to who these people are. I mean, because it doesn't cover any of the stuff with them being targets of the paparazzi and them having clothing lines and them doing all the celebrity type stuff that they do. It just focuses on the tiny, tiny little part of their life that they're willing to share. And that really ticks people off. What do you think?
It's the part of their life where they eat lunch.
Yeah.
How often, boy, I've never seen so many skinny girls eat. They eat a lot of, they push a lot of salad around at Il Soleil.
Yeah.
They push a lot of salad around in the Sunset Plaza area.
But then the cameras don't follow them into the bathroom to throw up.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see who's picking them up when they puke. Whose dress is stained with a little urine and vomit? Who?
Oh.
Come on my show, it's all out there.
It is.
It's all
that's true.
Out there.
And that's not always good.
No, it's not always good.
All right.
Four seasons in, do you still like being followed around by the D-list cameras?
I like watching the show when I see it, but when we're filming it, it's kind of torturous. But when I watch it and a little time has passed, then I feel like, oh, I'm watching the show. Because I don't edit the show.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy it. And I think the episode about Walter Reed last week was really good. I'm very proud of it. And then the ones where I look like a total a-hole, I just have to suck it up and deal with it. And it's also been a bitter pill for me to accept that my mother is the breakout star of my life on the D-list.
They do like her much better than you. That
much
is true.
Better. And it's technically, they still throw me the bone of calling it Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, if there's an episode that's Maggie light, I hear about it.
Sure. Okay.
Really?
I hear about, oh, the boards light up. Where's Maggie? How's Maggie doing? What can we get Maggie? You know, this year Maggie stole my gaze, I thought was vicious.
What do you mean?
I had some close, what I thought were close gay friends, uh-huh. And then behind my back, I'd be touring, which I constantly am, and then I'd come back, and my gays are just hanging out at my mom's condo.
Yeah.
And she just took them.
Wow.
My
That's
mom, by the
hurt.
Way, could be on the hills in a heartbeat. It's much
yeah.
more
no,
her vibe.
She's too interesting
well,
for that.
But she does create drama, and
yeah,
she will steal your gay. I don't have to tell you that.
You don't have to tell me that, no.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed
Kathy,
at
you mentioned the Walter Reed episode, which yes. I saw a little bit of, and I don't think anybody is prepared for what it's like to visit the hospital where the guys coming back from Iraq and other places around the world are in rehab. I mean, it really is a sobering
intense.
Experience about
yes.
what you think is important, and then you walk in there and go, I live a lie.
Right. I live a lie. It's really, really true. Yeah. Well, after going to Iraq and Afghanistan, I said to Bravo, I said, well, let's do a show about what happens to these men and women when they come home. And also, Walter Reed, of course, had been under such fire in the press. And I was like, well, let's go check it out. So I went and looked off camera and I met with them and stuff. And I said, you know, I think this is an episode that can be touching, but also there's going to be funny moments. Because what I found is the families that are dealing with such trauma and the patients themselves, they have the darkest sense of humor you've ever heard.
Yeah.
They go to that sick place.
Yeah.
They beat each up with their fake limbs. And so I walked in there trying to be all politically correct for about the first hour, and then it was naughty jokes after about, you know, an hour and 5 minutes. And they were so nice to me, and this is the first time they ever let cameras inside the rehab facility, and yeah, that is a sobering thing. But I think it's also a story of how people use humor to get through something.
Yeah, so those people, more than any, need
more than any,
that kind of humor.
Yes. Yes.
I love the guy in the wheelchair who's always hitting on you, too. That's my favorite dude. The guy with some loving.
I met someone, and a traumatic brain injury is not going to stop me.
Well,
I might take him to the swinger party. I might roll him up to the swinger party because he's open that way. And can literally say he rolls that way.
Are you going to come in with him or just roll him in?
First of all, I'll probably roll him in, and then he'll have his biatches all over him. And so I'm just going to have to wait in line like the other girls that say, it was my idea. Really, it was.
Kathy, you're going to get a chance in a few minutes to talk to some of the potential swingers for the party because we are going
to
be taking some calls later
in
the hour.
I'd like to scream.
I know you would.
Also,
right
now, I have three nights coming up at the Kodak Theater.
Don't think I won't mention that,
please,
Kathy.
Do.
I am a professional broadcaster, my dear.
I'm sorry. Very
December
proud of that.
10th, 11th, and 12th at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster or KathyGriffin.net.
You
yes,
said
what?
December.
That's right. December 10th, 11th, and 12th is when the shows are at
the Kodak. She sells out fast. You need to know this now.
Yeah.
But it's
you do.
It's August.
We'll talk more about
all
that.
Right, all right. I'm in Mandalay Bay in Vegas, November 14th.
How about that, Kevin? Is
okay.
that soon enough
Is that
for
closer
you?
For you?
Closer.
All right. I'm your lap in 10 minutes. Anybody? Any takers?
We'll talk more with Kathy when we return.
You have a new dress to take a picture with Obama?
I do. Yeah. I have a beautiful Dolce & Gabbana dress.
Oh, that's going to be great tonight.
And I'm just sucking back Red Bull because my gay said that should be breakfast, and it's equivalent to a bowl of cereal.
Okay. All
and
right.
And it will help me fit into my dress.
And then you're going to get in your dress, and then tonight you're going to go to the fundraiser. And you're going to hang all over Barack.
Look, this is...
Right?
Look, I don't know anymore. When I got in the car to come here, I was very excited, thinking I was going to have a picture with Barack Obama.
Right.
I assumed I would be sitting next to Halle Berry. And I'm pretty sure she requested to be at my table.
Sure.
And now I'm hearing that Obama's not even going to be there.
I heard it in the news this morning. That's all I can tell you. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe he will be there.
Bean, you saw him in Virginia today?
I saw him on the news this morning because, you know, they're hounding him because they were trying to find out who his vice presidential pick is going to be. So they were yelling at him as he was jogging by in Virginia this morning with the governor of Virginia, who's on the short list. And I thought, I mean, it's conceivable that he could still be flying westward and be at the event. If he knows Kathy's there, I think he'll move mountains to try to get there.
What about Vice President Halle Berry?
Is it possible Vice President Kathy Griffin?
Yes. That's
it's an even better idea.
That's how you shake things up.
So you got the VIP ticket for tonight.
Yeah, but I paid.
Right.
$2,300 right. of my money. Dude. My money that I have to make at the Chuckle Hut. My hut money.
That's a lot of huts.
I know. Kathy, a lot of chuckles.
Kathy, let me ask you this. I'm fascinated with this because we always hear about these celebrity fundraisers. And of course, we're not celebrities and we don't have any money, so we don't get to go. But did you pay that money because it's A, the place to be, or because B, you just want to get a picture with Barack Obama, or C, because you really want to do everything you can to help this man win the election for some reason? Any of those reasons?
Or all of the above?
You know what? I'm an American and I love this country and I love change.
Okay.
And I have those three shows at the Kodak where I'm always going to need new material. Now, look, what are the chances of something funny not happening tonight with the A-listers going to see Barack Obama and then him not even showing up?
That's a recipe
for funny to me.
That's true. You're going to get some great stories out of people.
Yeah, write-off. Exactly. This
so you want to see Barbara Streisand throwing a tantrum tonight. That's really why you're going.
I do. I want to see Barbara Streisand and Halle Berry pulling their weaves off. I want to jump in. I want someone to fall in the fountain, a la Dynasty finale.
Sure.
I want to see Old Money, New Money, maybe one of the kids from Entourage plays a guitar. While Edgar Bronfman Jr. Shoots Adnan Khashoggi. I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's going to be a good combo of like Old Money and Hollywood hipster.
It is going to make it much better that he's not going to be there. I mean, that is going to be better for you.
I don't know. That means I have to get there earlier. Because it's not like we're all going to be like, oh, Miss Streisand is just pulling up. No, she's not. It's going to be me and Bonaducci. Because no one's going to go. I don't
Kathy,
know.
What did they tell you? I mean, what did they tell you about an event like this? Do
they
you
said,
know anything about the food or the entertainment or anything?
They said that there was a reception at 5:30 where you get a picture with Obama, and for that is $2,300. And then I emailed them again, and I said, I'm sorry. Maybe there's a misunderstanding. This is Emmy Award-winning Kathy Griffin. I was just wondering what I should wear. And they were like, you should wear a black dress and a $2,300 check. And I tried to clarify 7 or 8 more times, and basically the message was clear. I had to pay. And so, well, if that means I did, then so did Mario Lopez.
Do you? I was just going to ask, do you think you're the only one that had to pay, or did they pretty much charge everybody?
No, I think it was probably me, Mario Lopez, and Lance Bass.
All right.
Kathy, I know it's all about you, and that's one of the things we love about you so much. And that's what, let's be honest.
And America.
That's what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's about you. Okay, you'll ever be. Let's say you, Kathy Griffin, get a moment with Senator Obama.
Yeah.
What do you say to him? What kind of conversation would you like to have with him? I mean, are you one of those people who goes, wow, if I get the chance to talk to him, I have something really important that I need to tell him?
Or I go,
or
suck
just...
it! And I hope my friends left.
That's why we like you more than anything. Because you would ruin that great opportunity by saying suck it.
Do you have advice for him at all or anything like that?
What is she, a political candidate?
I just wonder. Because some people, they really get behind a guy, but they really want him to do something.
I think in that moment, I would need a sit-down dinner. I think in that moment when you're in the reception line, for me to just go up to him, turn and smile and say, you're going too far to the center and run is weird. But if I could, I would.
Some context. How about Senator McCain? Would you party with him if you had the chance?
I'd tip him like a cow. Like, oh, grandpa. But only because I know how to tease my mom. I do know how to tease the elderly. I really do.
You're good at that. You're an expert. That's true.
I might give my mom's walker and a little box of wine, maybe. Because old people love a box of wine.
They do love the box.
Oh,
Kathy Griffin is here now. But on November 14th, she'll be at the beautiful Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster or KathyGriffin.net. And, of course, 3 big shows at the Kodak in Hollywood, December 10, 11, and 12. That's Kathy, by the way, on the same stage where the Academy Awards are given out.
Tickets are
also on sale for those shows. We are going to have tickets to give away. I don't want to do it right now because we got to open up the phone lines for the Kevin Bean F Monogamy Swingers Party, which we're going to be talking to people next. And, Kathy, you're going to help us let some people into that party, right?
I'd like to offer some guidance.
Now, we're going to screen it. But
we do have to let people in.
That's the thing, is that we are having a party this weekend, and we do need to let people in, so we can't be too harsh.
What does that mean? You're afraid that I might dissuade swingers? I think they're pretty committed if they're calling into a radio show and they've convinced their spouse to get it on with somebody else.
A lot of them haven't. It's not a hard convincing.
I like they're really shy. I don't know. It's kind of the book set. I don't know.
All right. I will say this before you dial. 21 and up, please. And the party is Sunday night in Las Vegas. You're going to win round-trip airfare to and from Las Vegas. You get two nights at the beautiful Caesars Palace, Sunday and Monday night. Of course, the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from Las Vegas from Caesars on Monday. So if all that sounds good and you've worked out your issues, you and your partner are ready to swing, we want to hear from you and see if you can get by the Kathy filter. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on Kevin. Emmy-winning comedian and all-around good gal, Kathy Griffin, is here with us in the studio.
And double Kathy, Emmy nominee this year, I just want to
And
say.
Double Emmy nominee this year.
Hoping, fingers crossed.
Before we go to the calls here, 1-800-520-1067, let's be frank, you're a goer. I mean, you've been there. Any swinging at all in your sexual resume?
I have never swung.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with my level of fame, next thing you know, you got a sex tape out there.
Sure.
And somebody's trying to make $200, $300. And then
like
I pay the price. Like
That's
they do.
True. That's a good point.
So, no, I like open mouth kissing with boys.
Okay. That's fine, too.
And I like all the bases. There's not a base I don't like.
Okay.
First, second.
Third.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Good for you. All right. Let's
rounding
help
home
us.
Is always good.
Rob base.
Help us with some of these calls. Well, that was very
How
good,
How can you
Mike?
Go against everything George Michael wrote about when he wrote in Lipstick Try Monogamy on a Naked Girl?
We have no idea what you're saying to us right now.
Remember the George Michael video where he writes in lipstick on the naked girl, try monogamy?
That's right. That's right.
Remember being
wow,
open
I haven't thought about that.
He was lying. He was lying.
Let's
you
talk to Matt
to
in Huntington Beach. He's on line 6. He'll get us started here for the Kevin and Bean Party. Again, 21 and up, two nights in Las Vegas, airfare included, and, of course, the live broadcast with the Kevin and Bean Show Monday morning. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Kathy, Lisa.
Hi, Matt.
Fat or ugly?
Neither. Come on.
Come
All right,
on
what's
now.
What's the deal? You got a wife, I understand. How long you guys been together?
Correct, 5 years.
Okay. 5 years. Have you done any swinging so far?
We did once on a cruise ship. It was a pretty fun experience.
Was it a swinging cruise or just happened with another couple?
No, just happened.
All right.
Were you under the influence of anything?
Probably so.
Sure.
Oh, interesting.
Why did it not happen again since then?
Just no opportunity. So.
Now how long ago was that?
About 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Would she say that it went as well as you're saying that it went?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's funny she's not on the phone saying that.
And have you talked to her about our party?
I did.
Okay.
I talked to her about it this morning. She said that if I was able to call in and get tickets, that she would attend.
Okay. Did she say that begrudgingly?
No. Okay. She seemed very excited about it.
Most people don't go, I'm going to attend a swinger party.
I can't wait to attend.
Let's attend it.
I can't wait to have my presence felt.
She's definitely up for it.
Is she fat and or ugly?
Neither.
All right. I got to check.
Are you okay now,
I'm just
Kevin?
Saying I got to check.
You good?
How do we think about this guy? How do we think about Matt?
You know,
sounds fine to me.
He,
a little laid back, but okay.
Yeah, he
How old
is.
Are you, Matt?
35.
Okay. And how old is your lovely wife?
30.
Hmm. No, I think they're fine.
Okay.
What does that tell you?
Thanks, Lisa. I don't believe that it was her idea first. I think Matt talked her into it, and she's a little younger.
Yeah, and so now she's not happy about this either?
I think that there should be some ground rules. And what's her name?
Jen.
Maybe it's Jen's weekend. How about that?
That's been the advice that we have been getting from the swinger experts, is to say that the girl calls the shots about who
Maybe
she
Jen
wants to be with.
Maybe Jen should come up with an itinerary. I could have one of my assistants help. Some sort of an agenda. timeline.
All right, Matt, you're in. Hold on.
Cool.
Thanks for the call. We'll see you this weekend. All right, we got so many calls in so little time. Who do you like next? Here,
oh, Kevin? Only Joe in West Covina.
Okay,
just Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
28 years old, girlfriend 27 is a stripper.
Yeah, she's a stripper. She's been stripping. So we've had like threesomes, and one time we got real close, but my friend kind of got a little shy, so he cut it off short. So I figure, if she's dancing for $20 a dance, and somebody else is, touching it already, it wouldn't be too bad.
What's the difference?
She's already been fairly passed around, so what's another few guys over the weekend?
Where does she strip exactly, Joe?
Oh, I don't know if I want to say, because then we'll have everybody over there.
I'm not trying to identify. Is it a chain?
Is it a city?
Is it a chain, or is it just like a hut? strip
pretty,
hut.
It's pretty big. She's pretty hot.
Okay.
But, I got everybody at work listening to me on the radio, so I think I want to have my coworkers over there.
That's fine. That's fine.
But she's up for this.
Oh, yeah. Totally up for this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would make her so happy.
Fantastic. Who are we to deny a stripper happiness?
Is it going
to
make you any money on the side, Joe? Is what I'm wondering.
Oh, no, but it would be cool just to get out of work.
Does he sound like a pimp to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, pimp, hold on.
He sounds curiously out of breath, too, which concerns me a great deal. I don't know what
I think a lot of half-dressed strippers are watching him.
Right now?
Yeah. He said they're all listening.
Are you out of breath, Joe?
I'm actually at work because I'm a foreman, so I'm running around trying to tell people what to do and trying to stay on the phone.
Are you?
Fatso.
All right, Joe, we'll see you this weekend, dude. Thanks for the call. The great thing about strippers, by the way, and I'm glad Joe's bringing his girlfriend, is that they're already dead inside. So you can't really do anything that's going
to
screw them up.
I mean, say dancer. You're supposed to say dancer.
Oh, is that what it is?
He didn't even start with she's a dancer.
Is that why you thought he was pimpish?
Yes.
All right.
But it's not like she can wake up on Monday morning after the party and her spirit will be crushed because she's got nothing left anyway.
Okay,
right?
I guess you never saw a film called Showgirls where a girl's dream can be crushed.
All right.
In one swing club.
Vanessa, 27, boyfriend 23, thought about it, wants to experience it. Uh-oh. Vanessa?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're in.
You thought about it, but so far haven't pulled the trigger. How come?
Well, he's going back. My boyfriend is a Marine. He's going back to Iraq. So we've kind of been, jumping the gun and just going for things. So this is one of those things, I guess.
Okay,
well,
so he's
Vanessa, he wants to cross sound, off his list.
You
so,
don't sound yeah. too excited.
So he was in Iraq. Now he's back. Then he's going to go back to Iraq. So he figures he might as well go for everything
he's just
he can.
Got a really skewed bucket list.
Yes,
he's been
exactly.
through hell, he's going back to hell, and he wants a good story on his way back to hell.
But Vanessa, yeah. is this cool with you?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I don't even believe you.
God.
Wow, but it sounds like she's got a gun to her head.
She does.
Are you holding up a copy of today's newspaper right now so you can take a photo?
I know. Haven't you been through enough, Vanessa?
It sounds like you're willing to do whatever for him, which is great.
Because you love America.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like you're going to have a lot of fun.
No, you know what? I'm into the girl and girl action,
yeah.
so that would be hot. But,
all right.
Okay.
But you know your boyfriend's going to tape it and show it all over Baghdad.
Probably. But, if 5 minutes of joy for them is fine.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. She is
there you go.
She is a great American.
USA. USA.
USA. She's a great American.
You two are insurgents.
She's a...
Oh.
She is willing to do what it takes to buck up the troops. It's nice,
so to speak. So now
all right,
she's
Vanessa.
In.
She's way
she's
in.
She's absolutely in. Are you kidding me? She's in more than you are, Kathy. I'll tell you that.
I'm fine. I'm out. I get it.
All right. We don't have time for any more calls right now. You can continue. I guess we'll do a few more off the air. And, of course, you can write to...
I have three ping pong balls in my privates right now, ready to board a plane and do something crazy. But no, I'm out.
Wow.
I'm out all of a sudden.
I didn't
You're
know that.
You're so judgmental.
Wow. That's ugly.
You could also email your story and your pictures to ralph@krock.com. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Ralph's got
wait
the show.
Wait a minute. You mean Ralph just has some sort of email account where people send yes. their pictures of
that's
themselves
correct.
Naked?
Yeah, it's pretty much a scam.
Scantily clad.
Yeah.
Well, how is Ralph the authority?
Well, he just is from experience.
Yeah.
Because he got caught one time at a swing bar, whatever the hell it is.
I don't know that we're talking about that on the air, but no, that didn't happen.
Is Ralph part of the lifestyle?
He was.
He might or he might not be.
You can ask him because he's coming in next with the Showbiz Beat. Plus, we'll tell you more about Kathy's upcoming gigs and give you some tickets to them, too, on the way from K-Rock.
Happiness starts at sandiego.org/happiness. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. 8:55. Kathy Griffin is here in the studio with us. Ralph is also here to take a look at the Showbiz Beat.
I'm glad Kathy's here.
Okay.
Because my first story is about what female celebrities do to stay beautiful.
Okay. Wow.
These are beauty regimens.
And to have an expert, right?
Sure, exactly.
Side.
So I figured.
Kathy needs some tips. Is that what this is about?
No.
Oh,
how dare you?
Hey, what are you mad? That's not the environment I want at the swinger party.
Sorry. Let's get you to talk into the mic like that.
Sorry.
There we go.
I was that's pretending
good.
Like I was at the swinger party.
You were.
I wanted
were.
To meet some new people. Try some new techniques.
That mic was going
to
disappear for a second.
Exactly. And what's the problem with that? Next, I love Vegas.
Lance Bass teach you that?
Yes, did.
Deborah Harry, singer of Blondie,
yes,
admits to injecting herself with sheep embryos to stay young looking.
Where
what?
Do
did
I sign?
Work.
Sheep embryos.
Injecting
sheep
them where? Embryos.
I don't know.
In her,
I don't know how she takes them, but apparently she injects herself with sheep embryos.
Wow, that seems bad.
Demi Moore, of course, okay. Who is sheep sort of the embryos. Poster child
plastic
for
surgery.
Looking young and
yes.
beautiful.
And not quite coming clean about it.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
just plastic surgery, Lisa May.
Really?
Demi, at 45, admits to covering herself in blood-sucking leeches to keep her skin looking fresh.
That sounds
that
like
is
BS.
Not
sounds
true.
Like she goes to the plastic surgeon and they pull something.
Have you ever had leeches on you?
Kevin? Emotionally. I didn't look one day younger. I've dated like seven.
Sure. Terry Hatcher pours wine into her bath, says it makes her skin look better.
Terry Hatcher gets work done. That's why she's Korean.
She's bathing wine in bath. Yeah.
Wine.
These people are lying.
And Gwyneth Paltrow uses an anti-wrinkle cream containing snake venom.
I have heard of that.
I'm going to turn in my Obama ticket and get some of that anti-wrinkle cream from Paltrow. That.
And lastly, Charlize Theron.
Ooh. Does nothing.
I know, is perfect.
Yeah,
uses a special compound made from a fruit found in the Amazon jungle.
Called dial soap. It's just jeans.
No,
she just has good jeans.
Sugar Acai Age Delay Body Cream. At $65 for small tube, it slows down time.
What?
How does it do that?
Age defying
technologies. The way Cher turned back time?
Nourish, protect, and firm your skin.
Would you think
so? Those are your tips from the beautiful women of Hollywood.
Would you guess that she needs some help in applying that?
I would like to
on her right bottom.
I would like
wherever.
I would like to cover her with some sugar acai cream.
You know, Ruff Garman.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene.
You mentioned the face cream with,
I did,
that came
Gene.
From snake venom.
I did, yes.
Lisa May, yes. I've got a face cream that comes from the venom of my snake, and I think I'd like to apply it to your face.
And he patented it? Yeah.
No. Not much effort there, Gene. Okay. I got to be honest.
Come on! Talk about a poisonous snake.
On a broad base.
This one right there.
Ralph, why didn't you shave today?
Why didn't I?
Yeah. You have a job. You're a professional.
But I'm on the radio.
So I know, you can at least shave. What about the others? They all look very well-kept.
We do.
See? What do you think about that, Ralph?
Well, Kevin Smith's coming in tomorrow. I'll shave for him.
Yeah.
But not for Kathy?
No. Kathy. I've known Kathy for too long.
Ralph's infatuated
with
Kevin Smith.
So you'll shave for someone
Smith.
With facial hair?
Yes, exactly. Because I'm trying to make an impression on him, you know?
To do what? Someday be in a comic book?
Yes.
Maybe he'll put me in one of his feature films.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Kevin Smith walks up
and I've got an Emmy.
Kathy put me in her show. That's more than Kevin Smith done for me.
Thank you.
And Kevin Smith, you could not shave.
He walks up and down the hallway, and Ralph's holding onto his ankle, sliding on the ground the whole time.
You love her?
It's kind of bad.
I love Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
We have sort of a geek love thing going on with each other.
Really? Who's deformed?
Neither of us are deformed.
Oh, I thought you meant that book.
No.
One of you has a tail?
Love. I mean, like comic book geek love.
Oh, sorry.
Kind of geek love.
Okay.
Which one of you deformed? Jessica Simpson.
What?
Is got a new gig. She's now spokesperson for a beer. She is the face of Stampede Light.
That is too good. That's not possible.
It is a beer made in Dallas, Texas. It's a local brewery, and now she is the Stampede Girl.
I love it. I love it. It's perfect.
It is perfect.
Who else is going to be the Stampede Girl?
That's true.
Just her.
Just her.
Not Jamie Lynn.
Maybe Lindsay. Maybe Lindsay Lohan. You know?
Considering the weight she's put on recently, I guess a cow-themed beer would be appropriate. For,
what are you talking
Jessica.
About?
Have you seen
she's
her?
A darling
no,
little girl.
Fat.
Oh, Jesus.
Has she gotten fat?
And her boobies.
She's blowing up.
Her boobies have always been fat, though.
No, yeah. But she's
the rest of her body?
Up.
Really?
Yeah,
no, he doesn't know. I just saw her in a corset.
She's straining at the seams. That's why she's wearing a corset. She's got to pull it all in.
Well, wouldn't you?
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
That's true.
Who's that?
Some chick.
Some girl.
Some chick.
Some random chick.
Are you going to wear a corset this weekend in Vegas?
I think I will, yeah. Okay. I'm going a full Frank Inferter from Rocky Horror Picture Show look. That's going to be my costume for the weekend. Uma Thurman.
Yes.
Cow.
She is fat.
Tells the New York Post she's sick of women who push, pull, and squeeze themselves into tight jeans.
Ralph, guilty. I accuse.
She doesn't like the muffin top look on women. Doesn't
no
like
one
all
does.
The flesh spilling out of her top jeans.
Yeah, not everyone can pull that off.
Yeah, I know. She can suck it with her 6'3" body.
Yeah.
It's always been skinny and forgets to eat.
True.
Okay?
There. I don't want to know that much about anybody, she says.
Well, I don't
she's
care
got a point,
about her muffin top.
She's got a
she
point.
By the way, she's
top.
Referring to her brain. She pulled her jeans up to her brain. She doesn't even know what her name is. Her name can't possibly be Uma.
It's
got to be a typo.
No.
It's probably Uma. Sally.
You know, I'm just going to say she has enormous ugly feet and she wears sandals.
Oh, bitter.
Oh, I'm just going to say.
Somebody's not going to want to swing with Uma Thurman this weekend.
Well, right. Before she points, maybe she should look down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold up the mirror. Hold up the mirror.
I'd like her to look down.
That was so subtle. What possibly did you mean by that double entendre?
Look up. I like her looking up at
I wish
me.
I was
come
a Blaze Bass right now. I really
bet
do.
You do. Here, I'll make you feel at home.
Here, oh,
there's
Lance.
There's Lance now. Oh, look at him floating across the room.
Oh, he's heaven.
Looking for a new spaceship.
Oh.
fruit pie he is.
Fruit pie. What, Grandpa? What kind of expressions are these?
He's a hostess fruit pie.
He loves a fruit pie. Mayberry, 1967.
Don't make me call Aunt B.
Oh, Aunt B.
Well, Amy Winehouse may be in rehab.
No, no, no.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Is that what she said?
She's beating up people, though. Let's keep her out so she can beat up people. That's fascinating.
The London Sun tabloid says that she has just entered a new rehab program in England, just miles away from where her husband's in jail. This way she can be rehabbed and visit him on a regular basis.
They just let you out of rehab to go visit your husband in jail?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't think they do.
Swinging door policy.
If you pay him enough.
Kathy, maybe that's where your show needs to go. The D-List needs to go for season five, is that you fly around the world to celebrities who need straightening up. Like, you'd go to Amy Winehouse, and the show would be...
Yes.
The show would be you trying to get Amy Winehouse back on top. I mean,
I would be like a floating Dr. Drew. So I would go around the globe.
Whoever needs house calls.
Yes, house calls.
House calls with Kathy Griffin.
People who don't want it.
And you know what? And they don't want it. They haven't asked me.
Right.
Technically, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But you know what I have? A head full of advice.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm like the Dr. Phil.
That's right.
Of
fake doctor.
Amy Winehouse rehab.
But it would be such a great show to see you try to straighten out Amy Winehouse.
Nice log line.
Let me work out the pitch. I'm working out the bugs.
I'm the Dr. Phil of Amy Winehouse rehab, people.
That's a hell of a show right there.
Green light!
Six on the air, right on pilot.
He needs some programming. You're on. Speaking of Amy Winehouse, pick up this week's Star Magazine. They've got two photos side by side of Amy. One in 2004 and one in 2008. In 2004, she looks great.
Yeah.
Healthy, curvy, hair down.
You would have her at any swing party?
Any swing party. Then 2008, tattoos, missing teeth, ratty beehive, face disease.
Yeah, she couldn't get in the... they wouldn't let her into Caesar. She couldn't get into the hotel the way she looks now.
Not even as a cocktail waitress.
Because of face disease?
Yes.
Sorry, we don't let people in with face disease.
No, I'm sorry, we don't. How much time do I have? Oh, I'm out of time. All right, I'm just going to go to the celebrity birthdays. Here we go.
Ralph, before you do that, before we say goodbye to Miss Griffin, may I give away some tickets to her upcoming shows?
Yes.
Sure. Please, let's.
Only if they're in December.
I think she's got a show in 2011, I think, that
Will
she's promoting.
Will you stop? You can find. You can come see me in Kansas City tomorrow night.
And like George
and Indianapolis
Burns. George
Saturday.
Burns, she's booked at the Kodak for the changing of the century.
Kathy, the problem is that I don't really book anything more than a day ahead, so that's why I'm making fun of
Get on the plane and come to KC with me.
Okay, all right.
You any twofers?
My Life on the D-List season finale is tonight at 10 o'clock on Bravo. Upcoming shows include the Mandalay Bay on November the 14th in Las Vegas. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster or KathyGriffin.net. And, of course, the big Southern California shows December 10, 11, and 12 at the Kodak. Tickets on sale now. Or you can win them right now. We got a few pairs to give away at 1-800-520-1067 to go see Kathy in person to find out how she was dissed by Barack Obama. Back to you, Bob.
Kathy will probably be at the swingers party this weekend, too.
She will,
She's not saying anything, but she'll be there.
I've seen her in concert, too, by the way. Very, very funny.
Yeah.
We don't usually
Thank
give, like, straight compliments on this show, but really funny.
I appreciate it very, very much. Yeah.
Talking about this one?
Yeah,
right here. Hi. Couldn't McShavey. You're like the anti-McDreamy. I like the didn't McShavey.
Those guys don't shave all the time. They're always got scruff on that show.
Well, I don't want you to perform an operation. You don't look clean.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm not clean. Hayden Panettiere from Heroes.
Very clean.
Wow.
Very clean.
I'd shave for her.
Yes, you would.
If she was coming in, I'd shave my entire body.
All over.
She's 19 years old today. Oh, sweet Jesus.
What a dream.
And the boyfriend's what, 47, 48?
He's 30.
30. All right, fine. I'm just asking.
You remember 19, don't you, Kath?
Yeah, I was banging a guy with a crooked mouth, and he was in his late 30s. It was great. He was clean.
Brody Jenner. Reality TV star Brody Jenner turns 25 years old today. He's dating Lauren Conrad, right? Aren't they a couple?
He was.
I hope they have a slamming party at Villa.
They've got a commercial together, though. They have to be together, don't they? Well, the mirrored phones, is that him at the table?
I don't think they're currently dating, but that's what made him kind of famous.
OMG, you are a pig?
Her boyfriend, right?
Yeah, right. Alicia Witt is 33 years old today. She is currently on Law & Order SUV. They just drive around in a big gas-guzzling vehicle and soft
It's not SUV.
What?
I don't think that's it.
Serge Tankian.
What the hell?
Of System of a Down's 41, Carrie Ann Moss from the Matrix movies and other films like Disturbia. She's 41 years old. Kim Cattrall. Ugh.
Wow. That's what I'm saying.
What went wrong there?
So Kim you Cattrall. Love Carrie Ann Moss because she's in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, she's hot.
And you don't like Kim Cattrall because
not
she's
hot.
In a girl movie.
She's
no,
ugly.
Nothing
to do
she's
with
ugly. Can you make a simple
She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
She's just not hot. One's hot, one's not hot.
That's all we're saying. It doesn't have anything to do with their career
just
or anything.
Simple,
or
the
what do you think they say about
just
you
that
losers?
Simple.
We know that we're in the not hot category. We're fine with that.
I would say Karen Moss, I'd shave for her. Kim Kroll, not shaven. That's how
absolutely.
I break it down.
That's, by the way, that's what you're bringing to the table now? It's either a 5-minute shave or not? What about love and compassion?
Oh, that's I way too much.
I don't
the
have time in the morning
me.
To shave everything I need to shave, Kathy. So I just get the important parts. You know
so
what I'm
Kim Kroll has to shave your back at a swinger party this weekend? This thing is taking an odd
this
turn.
This has taken a bad turn.
And Kenny Rogers. Poster yes. child for plastic surgery is 70 years old.
Does he get in the party or not?
No, God no.
We wouldn't recognize him.
How would we know if he was there?
He's got ID.
Have you seen him? Have you seen him since the old days?
I've seen a version of him. A
completely different person?
Completely different.
You wouldn't even recognize
him. He's Korean. No. Kenny's Korean.
That's old true. School.
He's 70 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
How much is this Whiplash Radio, by the way, going from Kathy Griffin to actor Shane West, who joins us in the Kevin Bean Show? I mean, wow, am I having trouble keeping track of what I'm talking about at this point? We're talking about Ryan Seacrest is gay, or we're talking about being on ER? I can't figure out where we are in this conversation right now.
Hopefully ER. Neither of the both, to be honest. ER, if I had a choice.
Shane, of course, you probably best know from the TV series ER, which is getting ready to come back. This is going to be his final season getting ready to start. Is that right, Shane?
Yeah, 15 years on that.
It's crazy. Well, unbelievable.
I wasn't on
dude,
there for 15 years.
It.
But yeah, and they took my legs.
I know.
It's a rough show.
I'm coming back for, yeah, it is a very rough show. A lot of people have been offed on that thing. Yeah. But I'm coming back for just a few. To help kind of give closure to the character.
By the way, it's fascinating. That show is more fascinating than any because they've had more of their high-profile A-list stars leave, and they somehow
they keep going,
keep the momentum.
Yeah.
I don't
That's
know
right.
how they have done it this long.
It's a testament to the writing and the production.
Absolutely.
And,
it really is.
Fine running machine.
Shane, of course, also finds time to make lots of movies, Walk to Remember, Leave, Extraordinary Gentleman, a bunch of others, including the new one that we're very excited about because it's kind of got a K-Rock connection to it. And this is going to be one of those movies of a real-life thing that happened that maybe you weren't paying attention or weren't even around for it. Mm-hmm. And that's the punk rock explosion that happened back in the 1970s, based right here in Southern California. And Shane is playing Darby Crash, which is a name you should know if you're a fan of music, because he was the leader of the band called The Germs. Mm-hmm. What do you tell people who know nothing about The Germs or punk rock? What's the introductory paragraph you give to people, Shane?
You know, I think that it's with record stores like Amoeba out there now, what I usually tell people is to go online, figure things out, learn, get a big list of a lot of the bands from the scene, and then go shopping, you know. And a lot of this stuff is even on iTunes at this point.
Yeah.
And I just got off a Warped Tour. We played the old school punk rock stage, and you know, a couple of the guys from MIA gave me their greatest hits, which was like, you know, 35 tracks on that. So there's plenty of ways to look at it, and I think it's just a very it was a time where anyone picked up an instrument and could play. You know, that was a great
example
of the Germs.
Well, they couldn't necessarily play.
They took a while for them to learn.
They could get on stage.
Yeah, that's very true. But they could get on stage, and people let them do it. Of course, they weren't even really getting paid, so why not? And hopefully learned from there. So anyone was almost in a band, and everyone.
I found out how little I knew about the Germs when I watched this. I watched a DVD copy of it, and I was like, wow, I knew nothing. I thought I knew.
Really?
I thought I knew a decent amount, but I didn't know anything, really.
Okay.
I mean, the first time they got up on stage, literally none of them knew how to play any of their instruments.
That's right.
Zero.
That's right. It became kind of a food fight, and, you know, Darby was very, you know, very charismatic, so it was just sort of, he did what he could do, and he had people like Iggy Pop and things like that to, you know, go off of, and they just started essentially Circle One, which was like their own little family and gang, and just exploded in one album.
Where do you rank the Germs when you start to think about the punk rock bands from Southern California of that era? I mean, do you think they were one of the best, or are they topping a different category as just being one of the most unusual?
One of the best by far. I mean, because when they were on, you know, there was no other band that could beat them. I don't think. I mean, X could always be tighter and have catchier songs and things like that, but you know, if you're referring to the L.A. punk rock scene, I have to say that they're one of the best. And there were some nights where they couldn't even play, and there were some nights that Darby would barely even show up. But it was that element of chaos and that element of not knowing what was going to happen that made them, you know, punk rock legends.
They didn't exactly get a lot of doors open to them either.
And it was like, no, that's right.
It was like they could play a venue once.
Uh-huh.
And then that was it.
They weren't invited back.
They had to move on.
It depended on the crowd's reaction and what riot might have ensued.
How old was Darby when he died, Shane?
He was, I believe it was 22.
Wow.
And, it's amazing that all this happened in such a small amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, they were in high school, and Pat Smear and Darby went to high school together. And before he had this 5-year plan of what he was going to do. He was going to, you know, create one album, make it, get them as infamous or famous as possible, and then was going to kill himself. And he took a lot of what David Bowie did with, like, characters like Aladdin Sane and things like that, and made his own characters of Bobby Penn, and then into Darby Crash. And I think at that point he was so famous in the scene that he felt that he may have to go along with his 5-year plan. And
he didn't mention the killing himself part. He did mention a lot the 5-year plan, and everybody else was like, oh, okay, what? I don't know what that. Okay, good, fine. Yeah, he didn't really.
That's what he would
publicize,
like,
the other part.
No, not publicizing to, like, you know, the to the public, but right. With his friends, he would mention it a lot in like joking manner and things like that. And it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. He didn't. They were like, oh, that's just Darby being Darby, and didn't expect it to happen.
Tell me about it. May have slipped on by people when you said that you just finished, you know, coming off stage with the Germs. You were playing the Warped Tour, I guess. You were on. You're in the band. You were playing with the band before this movie was made. Is that right?
During. This was such a long process. It was a 4-year process to get this film made. It lost its financing several times, and during these 4 years. The actors, or as Pasmier called them, the baby Germs, were learning our songs, and it took us months to do that. And I kind of got a bond with Don Bowles and Lorna Doom and Pasmier, and we played the rap party. We hadn't shot a thing, but we made a rap party because we felt like we had to do something for ourselves and the crew and for all the hard work. And everyone enjoyed it, and so we decided to play a secret show for fun with the adolescents. And that went over well, and then we played a huge show with Suicidal Tendencies and the Olympic Auditorium in downtown L.A. with Fear and Flipper, and that was absolutely insane. And I think after that, they were like, all right, we can give this a try. Let's try this with Shane.
That's bizarre.
And, he survived so far. He survived the Olympic Auditorium. I think he might be able to do this.
Yeah. Were you one of those people growing up who you would have just as been happy to have pursued a musical career as an acting career? So this is like the best of both worlds for you right now?
Yeah, this is the absolute best of both worlds. We just did they just got inducted to the Rock Walk of Fame at the Guitar Center yesterday, mm-hmm. and I got to put my thumbprint in there. I mean, that's pretty,
no kidding.
Pretty trippy. I wasn't going to do anything, but, you know, yeah, it's music. My parents were in bands when I was growing up, and this is a scene that I listened to, not the L.A. scene, but the London and New York CBGB scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something that I always thought I was going to do. Acting was something that I loved movies and loved things like that, and I was like, I'm going to do something different. But music was always something I thought I would succeed in. I picked up the guitar and started auditioning at the same time. Auditioning took off quicker.
Fascinating.
Not a very good guitar.
We need to take a break. We have plenty more questions about the movie, which, by the way, again, is called What We Do Is Secret, which is titled after one of the Germs' most famous and shortest songs. And it's in theaters starting tomorrow. When we come back, we want to talk to Shane some more about the movie, about the real-life Germs, also about a scene that features a recreation of something that happened here on the air at K-Rock, which I can't wait to see movie just for this scene.
Yes. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's pretty
fun. We'll get into that when we return with actor Shane West right after this on K-Rock. Actor Shane West is in the studio. Of course, you know him from ER. He plays Darby Crash in the new movie about the Germs called What We Do Is Secret that opens up in Los Angeles tomorrow. It's at the Landmark New Art, also in Irvine at the Edwards University 6. And I guess you guys and the other Germs are going to be doing a question and answer or something after the New Art screenings Friday and Saturday night, right?
That's right. There's 7:30 and I think a 10 p.m. Q&A on Friday as well as on Saturday. And to be honest, it's going to be playing all day. Those are just the times that will
so
actually
you're be
the
it.
Cast.
And sure, yeah, yeah.
There, yeah.
And the Germs are going to be playing the Echo in Echo Park this Saturday night, and then you said, I think, the Sunset Junction maybe the next day.
On Sunday, the next day, yeah.
Before we talk about one awesome scene that involves K-Rock here in the movie, Psycho Mike was starting to ask you right as that song was running out about how tough it is to kind of win over with any amount of credibility some of the old school Germs fans, who to them there is no Germs without Darby Crash. Who's this new Hollywood pretty boy that's standing up there trying to sing?
I think if they found a kid off the street, you know, who had no other aspirations but to sing for the Germs, he would still get a lot of flack.
Sure.
You know? So it's a lose-lose situation in that case. But you kind of just, I felt like when I got the okay from the band, first of all, that must have meant something.
Sure.
And then as the shows kind of progressed and I was getting more of an okay and thumbs up from people from the scene,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rather than the people now from the scene, and the teenagers and the kids, that meant a lot more to me. And then we went on tour and did things, played a lot more, many more shows basically to kind of advertise and show that this wasn't just a fake thing or just for the film.
Right.
And I mean, we played together for about 3 years now. You know?
Is punk rock your favorite kind of music to sing, Shane, or would you also like to be doing something else? Musically.
I guess that's it's kind of my favorite to sing. You know, it's I had a little kind of a pop punk band for a while. You know, for about 7 or 8 years, that I was trying to get called Johnny Was. That I was trying to get a record deal for, like from when I was 18 and you know,
but apparently Johnny wasn't.
And,
huh?
No, Johnny wasn't.
But, hey, you know, it seriously,
was,
though.
Well, actually, that was the thing, is we had a chance, and it was up to about 4 years ago, and I was just getting older, and I felt like it was getting too poppy, and wasn't what was, you know, what I wanted to do anymore, so I had to let it go.
Interesting. Tell us about the scene in the movie that involves the Germs and their legendary appearance on the Rodney on the Rock show.
Wow, that, well, first of all, that scene was shot at, was the last day of shooting. The first time of the last day of shooting, if that makes any sense, because we lost so much money. And 4 o'clock in the morning, and the actor J.P. Minot, who played Rodney on the Rock, who I thought did a spot on impression, especially at 4 o'clock in the morning. The poor guy only got like one take, I think, and it was a very stressful scene to shoot. And as the festivals have gone on and the screenings have gone on, it's gotten some of the biggest pop because of at least putting a little bit of comedy in there,
yeah.
And because of all the dark material.
Poor little Rodney, though, man. He was just sitting there, and the Germs came in, and they just were abusing him, and he didn't know what to do or what to say.
That's right. It's
really brutal.
Coming from the actual, you know, we took a lot of the real script, you know, of what had happened. And I mean, that's you'll see where myself playing Darby's blowing a whistle the whole time. It doesn't really make any sense, but that's what Darby was doing.
Right.
So,
just
you know, we're trying to stick as close as we could to the actual.
Here's a little bit of that scene with Rodney interviewing the Germs.
All right. If it goes to hell, KROQ, Pasadena, this is Rodney on the Rock, and I'm thrilled and a little nervous to be sitting here with the most notorious band in the LA punk scene, the Germs.
Now, by the way, at this point, he is really happy.
Right.
Super excited about the fact that the Germs are in his studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you guys play?
Well, I play hard to get.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what's your name?
My name's Ben Wobbles.
Did you change your name?
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah, Mr. Bingenheimer, I'm Don Summers.
I'm Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm Art Damage.
No more Pat Smear? Are you serious?
So you're just effing with them, basically, because that's what the Germs did.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, here's a little more of that.
We're on Rodney on the Rock with the Germs. Who's this?
I want to talk to Pat.
Well, I don't want to talk to you.
Oh, it's that girl with the flat chest.
I don't have a flat chest.
Yeah, you do. Last night, twice tomorrow.
Do you have word on the radio?
Actually, no. The FCC, you know, communications people, you can't.
They said on the Brady Bunch.
No, it's the license that the government will take it away from us.
Didn't they say the C word on Gilligan's Island?
They do.
Oh,
no.
Take another call. Let's take another caller, Rodney. I love that you played that with all the
just
curse words that needed to be blipped out.
Of course, we had to beep them out, though, as well, unfortunately.
Yes, of course.
The same reason.
Rodney
has
never sounded that lucid. I don't know who that actor is, but come on. It's an important piece of Los Angeles rock and roll history. If you've got any interest at all in the punk scene, and even if you've never heard of the Germs, this Darby Crash guy is one of those that Shane plays in the movie, one of those guys you can't take your eyes off of. And you just, I mean, the guy, I mean, I guess he had to die young. That was the only way a dude like that could live, right?
I'm assuming so, because a lot of it was, you know, you didn't know if you were really, I think the only people in the inner circle got to know who he really was. And a lot
right.
of it was, you know, characters that he had grown up, but he had a, you know, rough family life, suicide in the family. And a teenager, teen angst, drugs yeah. getting involved, becoming mm-hmm. a leader of a movement. You know, a lot of, I didn't see a, you know, a silver lining at the end of that one.
Yeah.
Fascinating story. The film, again, is called What We Do Is Secret, L.A. Landmark New Art Theater, or excuse me, West L.A. Landmark New Art tomorrow night is when you're going to have the question and answer after those shows. And then it's playing there all day and all weekend, and the same thing in Irvine at the Edwards University 6. Shane, awesome to meet you in person, man. Congratulations on the movie, dude.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew is where you pick up the phone, give us a call toll free, get on the air and get a prize today. How about a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, of course, the entertainment capital of LA? 1-800-520-1067 is our number.
All right, let's begin with George in Commerce. Good morning, George.
Good morning, my friends. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Do?
I am very disappointed.
You're disappointed, Ian?
The U.S. women's water polo team lost to the Netherlands by one goal, my friend.
Seriously, though.
Seriously.
What are you really disappointed in?
No, it's because my fellow resident, Brenda Villa, the captain of the women's water polo team, she's from Commerce.
Ah.
She hoping she would win the gold medal because it's been eluding her.
Well, been eluding her.
Yeah, you know, she's got the silver and the bronze.
I know. Look, you tell me. Who follows women's water polo closer than I do?
This is way too much info on that sport.
Way too much excitement for women's water polo. Look, it just so you know, George. When we're running the Olympics in 2012, I don't know if you heard, but Kevin and me get to decide what events are competing at the London Olympics. There's not going to be any women's water polo. It's going to be out of the Olympics. So glad you're able to enjoy it while you could.
Have you guys? I know you haven't. I'll take that.
There's going to be women's water t-shirt polo, though, right?
Exactly.
Girls wearing t-shirts?
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but they have referees that blow whistles, and they stop the action in water polo 5 seconds tops. Every 5 seconds,
really?
The whistle blows, there's a penalty, they have a free throw,
a
or whatever
game.
It is they do.
It's a dirty game. There's a lot of penalties. Women play like bitches.
It's absurd.
Speaking of the Olympics, let's talk to John in Redlands about the worst of all sports.
And by that you mean the best of all sports.
I mean the one, if you could only eliminate one, this would be it. Hi, John, you're on the air. What'd it do?
Hey, what'd it do?
Hey, John.
Did you guys see the Olympics last night?
Which part?
Sport ever?
Which one?
Power walking.
Missed power walking.
Yeah, Lisa says you have to keep both your feet on the floor at all times when you're power
that
walking.
That might be wrong.
No, absolutely. You have to keep both of your feet on the ground at all times while you're power walking.
I don't know how
it hard to walk, but they have to be on the ground.
I don't know what the rules are, but they do race, and they can't run.
Right.
Exactly.
And they look like they've got something up their ass. What?
You can't ever have be in the air solely. You have to have at least one foot on the ground.
When your
striding foot leaves the ground, your back foot has to be on the ground. And when you place your foot, that back foot has to be up.
I heard you can at no time bend your knees.
It is incredibly
walk like this all the time, like a freaking penguin.
It is incredibly stupid looking, and it's not really racing unless you. I mean, you can't speed up, even though you could run. You have to walk. Dumb.
Well, you can speed up while you're walking.
Dumb.
You can walk fast.
Dumb.
And you have to shake your ass a lot.
Yeah,
it's almost as dumb as
stick your elbows out.
Trampolining. Yeah, that's also dumb.
I saw a dude power walking, got pelted by Snickers bars by Mr. T. I saw
that. That was just in a commercial.
On TV.
Just in a commercial, Ralph. Let's change the subject. Talk to Veronica out in there.
Let's change the subject.
Chino, an actual satisfied K-Rock listener calling us this morning.
Hey, Veronica.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Good.
What is up?
Nothing. I just called because I actually got back from Portugal in July, but I'm never awake early enough to call you guys and tell you guys how it went. So I'm actually early today.
Oh, you were a K-Rock winner. We sent you to Portugal to see who?
Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was completely awesome. The whole trip was awesome. I don't like to travel because I hate airplanes more than anything in the world.
Right.
It was completely, completely worth it to see them. It was the most awesome show. Tom Morello is so badass. He does not even put on his own guitar during any part of the show. It was amazing.
They're my favorite live band, too, so I love them.
Wait, a trouble-free trip from K-Rock?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Was a prize?
You had the airline tickets and the hotel?
Yeah, everything was all set.
Concert tickets?
Concert tickets.
We must have used a third party.
Trying to win this from Power?
Fulfillment House of some kind.
Maybe. It was just such an awesome trip, and the only part of the trip that was any kind of trouble was when we were trying to actually leave the venue, and about 300 people wanted to get on the same train as us. But us being American, we rushed the train. And
kicked their asses.
Threw some elbows. Drop some bows and some domes.
I rushed the concert, too. Got front row. I didn't care. There was no way I was going to travel that far and not see them face to face.
You're quite the ambassador of goodwill for K-Rock. Thank you so much.
We're glad you enjoyed it. We're glad you enjoyed it, and we're super surprised that everything worked out.
Portugal has called and has not sent any more listeners to their country.
Thank you for the call, Veronica. Glad you had a good time. Let's squeeze in one more. James is in L.A. He's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, James. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
What's up, you guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, James.
What's going on?
Check it out. I need some advice from you guys.
All right.
I got a 70-year-old peeping Tom next door.
Okay.
He's peeping on you?
Yeah, me and my wife, when we walk around naked.
Well, your wife, not you.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's not interested in you.
70-year-old. And you've caught him doing this?
Yeah.
Dude, he's 70.
Is your question, should you call the cops or should you shoot him? Or I mean, what is it you're
no,
asking?
No, should he share his wife is what he wants to know.
Dude, guy's 70. It's all he's got left. Just let him be. Just let him have the small minor thrill he gets from seeing young, attractive nude people.
Okay.
Let it go, dude.
Where's the victim? Who's he hurting?
Me.
Why is he hurting you?
Because he's looking at me.
So?
He's not looking at you.
You're clearly walking around in front of windows.
No, he's looking at me. I seen him.
Is he looking at you specifically or your wife?
He looks at both of us, but I see him look at me most of the time.
Well, maybe you need to toss him a little something.
Yeah. Put on a little show.
I mean, is he coming onto your property and putting his face up against the window, or is he just doing it like from his yard? He's looking up into your bedroom. And what's the deal here?
Through his backyard, he's always watering his back grass, but I see him turn his head towards my window and look
he
in.
He turns his head, that bastard.
That guy, not even a peeping Tom.
That guy sure does water his grass a lot. I'll tell you that. That grass doesn't need to be watered anymore.
Not water.
Listen, James, if it's you he's looking at, give him a little something. If it's your wife, give him a little something. He's 70. He's going to die soon.
You got it.
All right.
Come on.
Okay. I'm glad we solved that.
Well, he's an old man. His hose out. You get your hose out. Everybody waters the grass. You know what I'm saying?
I want to thank all of our guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean show, including the lovely Emmy Award-winning Kathy Griffin for
joining
us.
Double Emmy nominee this year.
Her reality series, My Life on the D-List, season finale is tonight at 10 on the Bravo. And if you want to go see her, she's got 3 dates in December at the Kodak. She's also playing the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas in November. Go to Kathy Griffin's website or Ticketmaster to buy your tickets. Also, I enjoyed talking to Shane West, stopping by a moment ago for What We Do Is Secret, the Germs movie. That's starting in a couple of select theaters tomorrow. Please check it out.
All right.
Tomorrow morning, an all new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to Jeff Miller. He's the OC Register reporter that's in Beijing. Talk to him again.
Beijing,
apparently is how we're supposed to say it now. Kevin Smith in the studio tomorrow. Kevin Nealon in the studio tomorrow. Kevin Ferris on the phone. House Bunny.
Anna Ferris.
Yeah.
Movie Beat. Another Kevin and Bean instant request, which promises to be fantastic. And your final chance to win tickets to the Kevin and Bean F Monogamy Swingers Party, which happens in Las Vegas.
I got a good feeling about this party, guys. I really do.
I do, too, but for different reasons.
There's going to be drama out the ass. It's going to be a loving. Summer of love.
It's going to be a great party.
Out the ass.
Sunday at Caesars, and then Monday morning we're going to broadcast from Las Vegas.
Well,
and
some of us will.
That's going to go well.
If we find Kevin and we prop him up, he might join us.
Sure.
Linkin Park, The Bravery, Pennywise, Nine Inch Nails, and more, all part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with our friend Kat Corbett. Coming up next after this.